Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we are here live tonight. It is Thursday night, and it's going to be great. I believe in God for whatever He wants to do and say and have His way. You know, that's what He asks us to do. Just, can you just do that for me, Randy? Can I talk to my people? Okay. We're going to do our best, Jesus. That's what that was all about. So He does, and that's what we're here for. So we're here to be a blessing to you and hopefully give you something without a doubt that will cause you to know Jesus is with you, give you strength to go through another day, another week, another year, whatever the thing is that you need. And I believe He does it pretty much on a regular basis. And we're very thankful for that. It's about Jesus wanting to talk to His people. And that's about it. Well, that's you. All right. So there we go. All right. We are going to be praying for everybody tonight. Of course, tonight is offering night. So if you want to give, you can do that. There we go. And if you want to do that, we would be glad to receive it. If you want to give tonight, we can be doing communion and praying for offering. So if you'd like to give to PGN, I can show you how to do that. It's really easy. Mainly text me and ask me for the link, and I'll send it to you. But it did change just recently. And if you don't have that link, we can get it to you. It's really simple, really easy. Kind of a new thing that we've got a new website. We're beginning to work on that. And so, because of that, we ended up with a bit of a new way to get on to the giving. Yeah. So if you want to get on to the giving, you want to do that, you want to help us, you want to give to the Lord, then we would love to receive it. No question about it. So you can text me at 214-505-8719, and I will text you that link. And you can go on there whatever you want to, tonight, tomorrow night, next week, next year, whenever you want, and give to the Lord through the prophetic ministry, through the prophet. Yeah, we have a lot of people on our ministry team that will prophesy and speak the word of the Lord over you. Yeah, so you need to connect up. It's not just me. It's our friends. It's the friends God brought us to minister to you personally. And it's powerful. And you get a taste of Jesus in many different ways, many different aspects. And it's pretty cool. So we're trying to believe God to reach every area of ministry, every kind of ministry, and do that. So pray for us. And it's all going good. We are still working on getting approval for our trading for the body of Christ, our trade. We still have not been the second. Round hasn't been approved completely yet. I think with everything going on, it's a little bit slow. It just takes time for people to work through the business aspects of things. So just pray about all that. It is little by little happening. And we got one aspect of all our paperwork approved from them, and now we're waiting for the next level. All right? So, all right, just jump in there and pray for us. We would love for you to do that. Okay, let's go here and see what's going on. All right, if you want to give tonight, you can do that. You need to text the link. I keep wanting to give the old address, and the old one does not work like the new one. It's different. So, yeah. All right. So if you want that address, just text me, and I'll text the link right back to you. and you can do that. All right? Okay. People are giving right now. People give all during the day, all during the week. Okay. Thank you for all that. We've registered as it comes in. There we go. Okay. All right. Working over there all the time. Yes, I did. All right. Okay. Thank God for people who love to help and love to be a blessing. Okay. Somebody asked me for the link. Andrew, thank you for that. We will get it to you. I'm going to go for that and get that for you. All right. Everybody, we're going to talk about some things tonight. I'm not sure exactly where we're going to go, but we're going somewhere, I know. And it's going to be really cool. So maybe just a moment here to get this figured out. We are having people asking questions right here at the beginning of the show. We'd love to answer them for you. There we go. All right, now I got it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else needs a copy of that link? We'll get it to you real quick. I just sent it out to Angela. And anybody else needs that, you're welcome. I will get it to you as quickly as I can. So, let's see what we're going to get into tonight here a little bit as far as the Word of the Lord. You're welcome. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things God has shown me that that we see happen, you know, at times, is that in the prophet realm, and I think it's in every area, actually, I think it can be anything, anywhere, anybody, but I just see it in the prophetic realm with me personally, where he uses my mouth to sometimes it's like, remember Trump? Trump used to just like, remember how he provoked people? You know, I honestly kind of enjoyed that because I thought it's about time somebody stood up and, you know, spoke, you know, what they thought about that situation, the situation in the political arena. Most people wanted to say it, but they just, and so he would just come out and say things. And I found myself, you know, in the Lord over the years doing the same thing, except as a prophet, as a prophetic. I'm not saying God did use Trump, which he did, but in the sense that, you know, God would have me say things that were provocative. I've seen it. I've watched it. After I would get through saying things, you know, I would later think, well, now why did I say that? Why was that said like that, Lord? I mean, that was kind of provocative. That was like almost ugly, you know, like Jesus saying, you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones, talking to the religious people, not the world. Right? You notice Jesus didn't talk to the world that much negatively. He talked to the religious community. And so, you know, it's just amazing how we mess things up and we get messed up, and then the Lord, you know, sends people to rebuke us and correct us. And we never do like it, of course, because we always think we're right. I know I've always think I'm right. Until the Lord has to prove it to me. Prove it to me, and then I'll believe you. You know, like, instead of just believing God, it's like, prove it to me. You guys know what I'm like. We're all kind of like that. Yeah. So most of the time, the heavy, you know, almost tough speech that Jesus gave, Matthew 23 is full of it, where he called them snakes and vipers, and these were the religious people, man. These were not the heathen. Right, and so I think that we're in a season, I know I've been in it, to where, you know, we're going to be doing more of this, you know, sad to say, we're going to be doing more of it, and so you just need to get ready because there's a purpose for it, there's a real purpose for it. And so you just need to get ready for that, all right? That's all I'm going to tell you. So it's not always my favorite thing to do. When the lion starts roaring, you know, sometimes I want to cry because I'm kind of sensitive, you know. Yeah, and I'm not saying that in a boastful way either. I mean it in very, like, you know, sometimes, like Paul the Apostle, he would rip, snort, and, you know, just rip through somebody, you know, through some of his troubled ones, and he would turn around and go, man, and I'm not sorry, although I am sorry. And so it's pretty amazing how that we, you know, I'm the same way. I found myself being the same way. I just, you know, let somebody have it that needed to have it. And, you know, said it pretty good, but just said it kind of tough, you know. Like, okay, God, you know, what's up with that? And so we need to understand that now listen to me. Please listen to this. I'm already laughing about it, and I should not be laughing. But there was a reason why Jesus was being, quote, mean or tough and speaking very tough to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I mean the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and all the priests and, you know, all them. And the reason he spoke ugly to them was because God was, just like with Trump, you know, God was using Trump to provoke the system people where they got so mad that they couldn't help themselves. I mean, it's almost the exact style of the way God used Trump. And, I mean, and that's why I really liked him. I mean, people think that I'm against him secretly or something, you know, like I have some secret vendetta from some dark, you know, political, you know, agency that I'm a part of, that I've even been accused of, you know, being in some dark, I can't think of the name of the dark political group, but they're well known, you know, bad people. They're known to be taking over the world, kind of thing. They think that I'm a part of that. You know, I've been accused by people that are very close to me that have said that to my face. And I think they try to say somebody else told them that, but you could tell they kind of like thought, because it's just amazing, man. And so, I mean, stuff just gets crazy sometimes. And if you're a prophet, you're made for rejection. You're made for this stuff. So in a weird kind of way, it just makes you happy, you know. It's difficult, but it's happy difficult, in all honesty, it's just the truth. So what was going on when Trump was provoking the system people? Well, it got them in such an agitation mode that they couldn't hide all their deceptions and all their stuff anymore. They just came right out. They didn't care what anybody thought about it. They're going to run over the American system and take it over, and that's what they did. You know, just plain to me. I mean, so why did Jesus do the same thing with the religious people? Because he was being used by God to get them into a absolute frenzy and jealousy. And, you know, sometimes Jesus would just do miracles right in front of people on the Sabbath, and it looks like he was doing it just to show them, you know, okay, Mr. Religious System, you think you can rule over me? Watch this. Okay, you back there in the back, stretch forth thine hand. And they got mad. This was Sabbath. And they take him out on the side of the hill and try to throw him off, you know. And so you see this, and when you understand the purpose of it all, you realize why he called them snakes and vipers and hypocrites. You know, I mean, he just really laid them low. I mean, to the heathen people, to the lost people, I don't know that he talked that much about them. You know, he did a little bit, I think, but it was just mainly toward the religious people. Why? What was God's strategy? And because the disciples kept telling Jesus, man, you got to stop doing that, man. I mean, these guys are they're the big dogs. They're the priests. They have millions of dollars. They're the main networks, you know, like the television networks that we have today. They're the main networks that rule the air, and you know, and you need to be nice to them so you can get on TV and be nice. You can get on there and tell your story, and like they're going to receive it, and tell your word about how Trump's going to be president, and, you know, like they're going to receive that. You know, they ain't going to receive that. So it's like, You know, but so Jesus, you know, God used the Lamb of God's mouth. He used his mouth in provocative fashion to just lambast them, knock them around, embarrass them in front of people, you know, because they would come and try to embarrass him, right? They would say, you know, like the famous one, you know, who do we give to, Caesar or to God? Remember that one? That's one of my favorite, you know, and he says, you know, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. It's like no matter what they did, they couldn't embarrass him, and they would always do it in front of the crowd. They did it in front of the people. Why do you think they did that? Because they were trying to humiliate him. They were trying to – it was a strategy. It was a strategy, and what a good one it was. But the thing is that it just backfired all the time, backfired all the time. And so Trump saw some of that until his time was over, his 3.5 years. It's not funny, I know. But, it's, you know, I think when you compare it to the scripture, it's just, it's mind-boggling. 3 years and 10 months, whatever, 3.5 years. You know, like Jesus and then John the Baptist, he had a little bit longer than that. But, you know, and then they, when his time was over, it was, you know, yeah, John the Baptist's time was over. He let 2 women cut his head off. I mean, you know, how humiliating was that for John the Baptist's disciples? It's very humiliating. What? A dancer danced and said, give me John the Baptist's head to the mother. 2 women took down Prophet Johnny. Yeah. Yeah, same thing happened with Trump, basically. Anyway, so and you just have to really know what goes on behind the scenes, but it's just so prophetically amazing. It's shocking. So, you know, sometimes, now I'm just saying this to you because so you'll understand things sometimes. You know, people didn't understand Trump. I kind of did a little bit because, you know, I thought, man, that's pretty cool, you know. He was a little bit rambunctious sometimes, but that's just what you get when you get one of those, right? So just you learn to enjoy it all and just go, oops, he shouldn't have said that one. Oh, no, he shouldn't have called that lady that. That was not good. And so, you know what I'm saying. So there you go. And so what I'm saying to you is, friend, we're entering into this. I'm prophesying to you tonight about a season that we're entering into. I've been in it for a while, about the merchandising realm. And it just moved from, you know, don't merchandise to, you know, in other words, you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones, merchandising creeps, you know, almost, you know, like that. And yet they're very sincere, you know, people. But God calling attention to it. And eventually, I remember saying years ago, I said, you know, right now it's just not a good thing. But I would even say then, just because the Lord would tell me, he said, but in the future, we're going to be calling it an abomination. And so eventually, a few years down the road, I'm calling it an abomination, you know, just like that. Like, I said, God, you know, you told me I was going to be doing this, that you're going to do this through me. And, like, now it's happening. I'm like going, man, this is a little tough on me. I mean, I like being nice mostly. I mean, I don't like this roar like a lion, you know, too much. That's why I didn't want to be a prophet, y'all. Remember that? I've talked about that many times. That's why I didn't want to be a prophet. I don't like roaring and all the time and, you know, telling people that there's snakes and vipers. I don't really enjoy that. It's a part of the prophet that I didn't like, you know, and yet I was wrong. So when you start seeing the importance of it, you start seeing why God, you know, had not only Trump do it, but had Jesus do it and even had, you know, Joseph provoking his brothers to jealousy. I mean, they already hated him, right? And that just took him over the line. That just took him over the line, man. And now it's like, you know, we're going to get rid of this sucker. You know, and when they do that, that means God's getting ready to take them somewhere. It took Joseph to Egypt, where he belonged. He took Jesus to the cross and resurrection, to the right hand of the Father, which is where he belongs, and left the Holy Spirit for us, which is where the Holy Spirit belongs, right, with us in the earth and helping us go through these things. And so, you know, so I've watched this process, and I'm trying to tell you what season that we're in. People don't know what season we're in. Well, this season is that it's I've been watching the Lord through me. It's not my favorite thing to do, but when I'm doing it, I enjoy it. Honestly, I hate to say, when I'm doing it, I enjoy it, but when I get through, I'm going like, I've done it. I was too tough on a man. I was just, you know, and I feel sorry for him. And then the Lord says, you know, just do what I say, you know. And I'm going, oh, God, you know. And Paul the Apostle remember I talked about this a few months ago, how I saw the scripture for the first time, though I've read it many times, where Paul the Apostle said, I'm not really going to worry about that the way I'm talking to you guys. I'm not really concerned about that. I don't really care what you think about that, but I do care. That's what he said. He said, I really don't care what you think about it. And then he said, but I do care. It's like, do you see this contradiction? It's not contradictive. It's just that human part of us. Because when the Spirit of God takes over sometimes, friendly, and does things, it's not going to be, happy time. Sometimes it's going to be, hey, and that's the part of the prophet, honest to God, I didn't like. And now I'm finding myself going there more and more all the time. Like, God kind of snuck it up on me, right? Y'all know what he like. He snuck up on you, right? He sneaks things up on me. He does, because he knows what I think. And that's for sure. So the season that we are in, and the purpose of this is that, and the theme of what I wanted to share tonight, I've had it for a couple of days. I wouldn't have been talking about this. I'm talking about it, but I have it in my notes. And, when Pharaoh was so provoked by Moses, Pharaoh had in Egypt, you have to understand Egypt and Pharaoh, they were the biggest, baddest of everybody. Biggest, baddest nation, the wealthiest, the greatest army, just like the U.S. And then here comes a little shepherd boy named Moses, who comes out from the wilderness after talking to God and saying, let my people go. And the intimidation and the pride, the Moses' words, just the fact that he was just a shepherd boy who had been gone from Egypt for about 40 years. And he came back because he had been, they were going to kill him for killing an Egyptian. And so here comes this guy who has no power. He has no army. He has no money. He has no nothing but a bunch of, the slaves are his buddies. The slaves are his friends. Yeah, those are my people. The slaves are your people? Yeah, those are my people. We're gonna whoop up on some stuff. And Pharaoh's kind of like going like, the new Pharaoh's going like, man, it's like I think the sun went and burned some stuff in you and out of you. I think you've lost some things and you've gained some stuff you shouldn't have gained. You got some issues. And it's just like, how dare you, Pharaoh's thinking. How dare you, little pompous little, weak and poor and, kind of sun-baked brain person coming in here and, it was almost laughable. He just was kind of like almost laughing and mocking Moses like, I'm Egypt, man. I could smash you like a bug right now, this very second if I wanted to. And even though when the rod turned into a serpent and their people, their magicians turned their rods into snakes, and even though Moses, Aaron's rod or whatever, ate up theirs, it's like, that fazed him a teeny weeny bit. Just not much at all. He kind of went, wow, that was interesting. Moses got a snake on him. Whoa, dude. Yeah, I need to get some better magicians going on here. I'll get my better crew up next time. It was like mockery to him. It was like insulting. It's like, how dare you come in here, you little wuss, and, try to, tell me, let my people go? Like, what? You're an idiot. And his pride, now watch this, his pride and his arrogance, God used that, knowing that how easy it was going to be to harden Pharaoh's heart because of that very thing. We're the biggest, baddest. When you're the biggest, baddest, friend, pride is your worst enemy and your best friend at the same time. It's your best friend, but it becomes your worst enemy because of, Moses was fixing to, Aaron and Moses were about to provoke, Pharaoh in that pride, and he was about to find out how that pride was going to become his enemy now. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So you went through this provocative thing day after day, week after week, plague after plague, and pretty soon it took like, 10 of them to finally do the final job, and even that last plague didn't do it. Even they came after him after that, right? So all this provoking. You see Jesus you snakes, you vipers, provoking. Why was he doing that? What was the strategy behind that? And he did it with the religious people. This is with the heathen, but Jesus did it with the religious people. Just kind of like some people say, well, you know, how come, you know, you're not coming against the heathen, Randy? You're coming against the church. I'm not coming against the church, friend. God Almighty is trying to deliver the church from a bunch of merchandising greed. And they don't even know it. They're so arrogant and so pompous like I was in it that I didn't know it until God opened my eyes. And I went, oh, my God, wow, what an abomination that is. And whoa. And the more I saw it, it took years for me to see it. So, you know, it's not exactly as easy as people think it is. And so what happened is, you know, so I'm going, God, it's like, you know, how do I tell people what we're doing here? How do I say this? Because we're not fighting Pharaoh. We're like Jesus, and we're fighting the religious system. That's the main system that's intact, and God ordained it. You know, the law and Moses and all the things that Israel was doing in the temple and the beauty of the whole thing and the power of it all, the money all involved in it. You know, I mean, it was just like an amazing, beautiful place. And, you know, this was the system, man. And then here comes Jesus, little old Jesus with a few couple of fishermen and whatever, a tax collector. You know, you're going to do what? You're going to do what? You know, what are you doing? And this time it wasn't the world that and the Egypt and Pharaoh that he was fighting and intimidating. No. It was now that using the same style of strategy, now that style of strategy, Jesus Christ, the Moses of the hour, if you will, has come to deliver his people. And even Moses said, one like me is going to come. Well, here he is. Of course, they didn't recognize him. You know, they didn't recognize him. They were supposed to recognize him. So God used Jesus to... Well, isn't it amazing that Moses threw down a snake and his pole became a snake, even in God's presence, and Jesus is calling them snakes. Think about that. I just thought about that. I've never thought about that before. Oh, you know, you snakes. You know, it's like you snakes, you vipers. Like Moses, you know, threw down his rod and it became a snake, you know, and a viper. And like then their snakes got eaten up by Moses. So you – even though I don't know what that means exactly, I just caught it. It's something like, oh, my God. And Jesus was just constantly provoking them. I mean, it was almost like when you call somebody a snake and a viper and a whatever, I mean, like, even if it's true, it's like, do you have to say it like that? Can't you be a little gentler and a little nicer? I mean, these are the people that are in control. These are the people that have, you know, multiple, like somebody's, you know, Mr. Based on networks, he's got like I got $140 million or something like that. I don't remember what. And I'm going like, you know, dude, that's cool. That's cool. Don't we all wish we had $140 million or whatever, I think $141 million, whatever it was. And then you know, TBN, you know, huge and all this stuff, and it's like, you know, this is huge thing, and I thank God, but that's not Egypt. We're not coming against Egypt. This is the system. This is the system of the day. And he said, yeah, I know. That's what I've sent you for. At this season, I'm sending you to intimidate. I'm sending you to tear down. I'm sending you with the rod and the big hammer. Like I gave this word to Chris last night. I said, I see you. This is big hammer, man. This is not like a claw hammer like you do carpentry work. This is like, you know, this is a massive hammer. I mean, this thing's like you're going to be tearing down some stuff. Yeah, and it's like, you know, okay, God, so I'm trying to let you know what season we're in so you won't get confused. Why is Randy fighting the church and saying all these things and intimidating people when these are the people he should be trying to work with if God's with him? And it's like Jesus, you know, why is Jesus coming against these guys when we're supposed to be working with them? That was their image. Because Jesus, according to the Jews, was going to be a person who was going to rule the throne of David, and you know, be and so the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious people and all the all of them, they were supposed to all work together, right, to take down Rome. They couldn't be divided. They got to be. That doesn't make any sense to them. Why is he doing this? And I know some of you are going, why is he doing this? He should be being nice and kind. But no, he's over here saying, you know, Jezebel, and going to knock you out, going to push you out of a second-story window, which is another second heavens, and Jezebel's going down, and the horse is going to stomp it. That's not a great thing to be saying about some of our friends, you know. I mean, we even like some of these people, and here you are over here, you know, opening your big mouth, you know, like, what are you doing? Just like with Jesus' disciples, they knew he was a servant of God, but they were kind of like questioning, like, you know, we don't understand your strategy. I mean, snakes and vipers, and, you know, your father's the devil. I mean, couldn't you come up with something better, like, you know, something more gentle? Like, talk about how they're going to get forgiveness from their genetic code or something, you know, like that? Can't you talk more careful? But you have to understand the strategy, friend, that God is getting ready to raise the Church of Jesus Christ up, and he's getting ready to put the hammer on the merchandising realm, which has opened up greed and lust, you know, and everybody's just gotten used to it, so it's not greed and lust now. It's, oh, we're just raising money for the church. That's what it is. They sanctified it to that, and it's just, I used to think the same thing, so if you think I'm coming against you, I'm not. I'm just telling you I was the same way, just like Moses was raised up with Pharaoh, with the guy he ended up fighting, you know, and saying, let my people go. He was raised up with him. And then now they're enemies, you know, in a sense. They weren't really enemies, but they were. So Jesus was like an enemy, and with good purpose, because that thing was about to pass away, and God was about to bring something in completely brand new. So therefore, God allowed the Jewish temple, the Levitical priesthood and all that to be compromised and to be selling things. And he had to drive them out of the temple and say, you know, my father's house will become a house of merchandise instead of a, you know, where you sell things and where you're making money to raise money for God. You know, and God, and Jesus said, you know, that's my father's house. You know, he doesn't need you to try to raise money for him. If you just do what he says, he'll take care of you. And that's the raw purity of that truth. Anything else is an abomination to him, literally. So as we come in and we start, you know, whited sepulchers, you Jezebel spirit coming in, you know, and snuck into your midst, your good people, your nice people, but at the same time, you know, so far I've been still calling them nice people. Y'all notice that? I've been saying, you know, they really mean well. They really do. And just like I meant well, I think they did too. I don't think they're any different than me. But when God calls you out and you try to speak to it and it doesn't listen to you, just like when Jesus spoke to it and it's corruption, they were the big boys. You don't talk to me like that, I'll sue you. I'll take you to court, and I always win. Yeah, maybe you used to. That all may be changing now. So just like Moses provoked them, drew them in, God opens the Red Sea by Moses and Aaron's rod, opens the Red Sea, they're crossing over, and now listen to me, and Pharaoh and his crew goes, oh, my God, we've got a real miracle going on for us. Oh, my gosh, it's opened up so we can go after them. Oh, this is a miracle. This is what people are going to say about me and us, and the same thing's going on. Oh, look, something's opened up, and now it's like we can go after him, like these poor, wretched little slaves that have nothing much, but how somehow they escaped Egypt and they're on their way out, and yet, you know, even though our first born are dead and laying all over Egypt and there was a wail and the cry like never been in the earth, we're still pretty ticked off about it. So, you know, they go after them. And God used it as a strategy, knowing full well when he opened up the sea and Israel passed over, and he said, turn around and behold and see what I'm about to do. And when they got sucked into what the Egyptians thought was a miracle for them, oh, yeah, this God is on our side. Look at here. Let's go after him. Looky there. They're all swept away in, you know, less than an hour. less than an hour, they're gone. God says, sometimes, Randy, I use your mouth, and I use, like, Donald Trump's mouth and other people's mouths to provoke people to such intense pride. And we got all the money. We got millions and millions. I got $140 million over here in a bank account. You know, I'm big. I'm bad. Don't you mess with me. When I sue people, I always win. Like, I'm going, when I hear that, I'm going like, yeah, this is going to be exciting. You know, like Pharaoh, I got all the chariots, and I got the money, and I got the army, and, you know, you just a bunch of poor slaves, and, you know, it's like God, so God just says, yeah, exactly, exactly. And he opens it up, and they all drown in the sea to their dismay. That's it for them. Gone. We're about to see that happen with stuff I've been talking about. You got to be ready. I'm preparing you for it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be scary. It's going to be awesome. We're going to see. It's going to look like we're backed up, and there's no way out. And then all of a sudden, the authority of God's going to open up a way where there seems to be no way. And we're going to cross over, and when we get crossed over, they're going to come after us thinking, you know, yeah, we got you now, man. This is a miracle for us, and they're going to think it's a miracle for them, and because that's the way God's going to make it look, and then that miracle is going to turn on them and become their enemy and destroy them and take them down and kick them out of second heaven, like Jezebel out of the second story. And the horses are going to stomp her head, the spirit, the thing, spiritually speaking. There's no real horses involved here, at least I don't think. So we are about to see a mighty deliverance. We're about to see God Almighty take a arrogant, pompous bunch of used to be well-meaning people who were humble and broken before God, who have gotten so enraged with pride of how dare you, little nobody, put your mouth on me. And God draw them into a battle that they cannot get out of and never will get out of. And it covers them up and drowns them into the sea of forgetfulness. And God's people will see it and rejoice, and it won't be Egypt. It's going to be church people who decided they know better than God, telling Jesus what to do and what he can and can't do. Because we know we have thought, we have plenty of positive faith, prophetic words. And we keep saying these prophetic words over and over and over again and keep confessing them and keep believing them. And we got enough people to keep believing it. We're going to win this battle. You little people stand over there by yourselves, little slaves, little nobody. You're going down. How dare you think you arrogant, pompous little shepherd boys and girls can come against me? Yeah. Well, it's not exactly what it looks like. God hardens their heart for a reason. He has people like me speaking against Pharaoh, but speaking against them. Because it all has a strategy, friend. And even though you tell them the strategy, it's like Moses told. He told every morning he woke up, and every morning, every time he went to Pharaoh, he told him what the strategy was. Tell him exactly what the strategy was. Well, you know, let God's people go. Okay, well, you know, today it'll be frogs in your ovens, in your houses, in your bed. And then the next day it's like, okay, well, you know, now I prayed and stopped the frog because you said you wanted me to, Pharaoh, and now, you know, you harden your heart again. Like, okay, tomorrow, lice. Could you imagine lice all over the place? Oh, my God. Told you what was going to go on. Still God, not the devil. God hardened their hearts to bring an end to some so-called kingdoms that are going to fail only because God gave them every chance to get it right. And they arrogantly and pompously, one of these days I'll tell the whole story, raised their ugly heads. And God said, your arrogance is not allowing you to repent. You're beyond being broken with true brokenness. So I will break you forever. Because God is a just God. He gives every person every chance. And they don't receive it. When the destruction begins, God's not saying, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. And then I'm sorry. Because God does things complete. And the glory of God is going to manifest into the earth, friend, like we've never seen before. The provision of God and the season of, is God going to bring me what I need today? And God's going to carefully, meticulously watch over his people and provide them and guide them and lead them like a precious child. That's what's really going to happen, friend. That's what's really going to happen. All right. So I'm just warning you. I say warning, is that a good word? Yeah, I think it is. I'm giving you the word of the Lord. Surely by now you have a little bit of confidence that God just might be speaking through me. There you go. All right. Wow, we got heavy tonight, didn't we? Welcome to Thursday night. I never know. You never know what you're going to get. I never know exactly whether I'm going to go get into the things I think I'm going to get into. Because sometimes God stops me and moves me to something else. Saying save that for another time. So, my friend, get ready. The best is yet to come, and I mean that completely, totally, and sincerely. The best is yet to come. And when you see it, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to be so absolutely amazing. You're going to be in such a state of shock and gratitude for God that you'll never forget these precious moments that we've had together. That God loved you so much that he told you before it happened. No man can take the glory for it because no man can figure all this stuff out. It's just too complicated. All right. Good to be here tonight. All right. So it's time to take communion. So get your communion ready if you would like. I'm not sure how we're going to focus our communion on tonight, but mainly to open up your eyes. I think that we're in a kind of an eye-opening season where, like Elisha opened up the eyes of the servant so he could stop being in fear. He could stop being, oppressing the servant of God, going, oh, Father, what are we going to do now, Father? And they're surrounding us. And he's going, man, if you could just see what I see. He says, the Lord says, yes, let's just show him, Lord. And so he did. It was truly amazing. Truly, truly amazing. Truly, truly, I say to you, amazing, amazing. All right. You know what? I never turned on the video. I got too many things going on there. All right. The video is now on, I think. Okay. All right. I do have the video on now, I believe. If you'd like to do that, there you go. Sorry about that. I didn't realize that I didn't have it on. Okay. All right. So we are here, and God is good. And hopefully you're doing well tonight. If not, we're going to be praying for you. And either way, we minister over people who give. We ministered it all week long in all different kinds of ways. So most of you know that. All right. Okay, I'm just going to check offerings here and see if people are giving anything more tonight. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are in definitely in a different zone, I would say, for sure. Thank you for everything you do. And what an awesome, awesome God we serve. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for being with us tonight. We'll get ready to take communion. Okay, so let's get ready to do that. And all right. Praise God. God is so good, so amazingly amazing and wonderful. That what keeps us knowing that God is good is seeing through the eyes of the Lord, and being able to see through the eyes of the Lord. You can't see through the eyes of the Lord in a situation. The valley that you're in will be tormentuous to you. Tormentous. Is that a word, tormentous? It will be tormentous to you. But if you can see through it, if God can show you what's going on, then it can be turn it all up for good, if you know what I mean. Okay? All right. So there you go. People are giving tonight. Thank you for that. All right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And I am registering all this as we go. Okay. All right. We're going to take communion now. Just do that. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. Okay, Enrique, I got you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Jesus is good. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. All right, we're going to pray tonight again. I never really know exactly what we're going to do. But I believe tonight we're still going to do this thing of opening up our eyes. You know, the great miracle about opening up our eyes has to do with when Jesus opened up the eyes of the guys on the road to Emmaus, and they did not even know who he was. They thought he was dead because he'd been crucified. And, of course, he was alive and walking next to them. And so when he stopped and they ate bread together, that it was all of a sudden, just out of the blue, they realized it was Jesus. Really? Amazing. Really, really amazing. All of a sudden, after eating bread, they saw that Jesus was with them that whole time. And they were crying over, you know, they were hoping that was God's deliverance for Israel was the Messiah. And you can see there, they believed just like Peter did, that he was going to be the Messiah that was going to rule on the throne of David. They all basically believed that. You know, good teaching, just wrong. You know, great scriptures, just misappropriated completely and at the wrong time. You know, and it's like we do, you know. So, all right, let's take bread and we've got to open up our eyes tonight so we can see Jesus with us in our situation, in our circumstances. Well, we just pray and we thank you, Lord, for a blessing of bread tonight. Paul the Apostle said, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's bless it, break it, and let's eat, friend. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the glory. We give you the glory, Lord Jesus. The same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. This cup is literally the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink it. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the Lord Most High. God, open up the eyes of your people so they can see, like Elisha. Open up the eyes of the disciple, of his servant. He opened up the eyes of his servant, and we thank you, Jesus, for that, that you do that, that you've done that, that you, you're opening up the eyes of your people tonight, God. And your people are seeing that we are yours and you are ours. And we have nothing to fear, because what you're doing in this end time is absolutely going to be miraculous. We're in a miraculous season of God, not necessarily taking Pharaoh at the time. That's a different season for that. That's going to happen later. The season that we're in is what I just explained to you. Not about taking Pharaoh down. Right now, Pharaoh is being used like Babylon, like Nebuchadnezzar was being used to take down Israel. And we are part of that process. The prophet, this prophet here, and this call, I don't want to put anybody else in on this because I don't know, I'm sure where everybody's at on it, but as this prophet has been called to deal with the church as COVID, COVID-1 and COVID-2, and now Joseph Biden and Randy Chandler, God using Randy Chandler. Without him, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I have no power. I have no authority. I have no real money. Just what you guys know about. That's it. And, you know, and I'm not the big dog, but God's about to show some people that when he has one or two or three people on his side doing what he says, that's all he needs. Two or three. Agree. We don't have to focus on the multitudes, friend. Two or three agree. It's touching a matter. I believe we've got more than two or three here on PGN. We do. So get ready. We've already won. And that's what they don't know. They're blinded. Their hearts are hardened. I'm with the religious community, spiritual community. Their hearts are hardened. Cannot see. It's kind of not really fair. It's really not fair. It's like when God took over Egypt. It's like, that really wasn't fair, God. but it was, in a sense. Because, you know, God is God, man. How can you compare to God? You can't compare to God in his power and his glory. You can't compare to that. Come on. You got to be kidding me. It's just not fair, but it's just in the world's view, it's like, oh, my gosh, that's like they got millions and millions of dollars with lawyers and attorneys and hundreds of thousands of people with them and behind them. And, oh, my God, who does that guy think he is? Well, this guy just happens to have been hearing from God. That's the difference. And that just intimidates him even more. That insults them even more, just like Moses insulted Pharaoh. Like, you know, what do you think you're like? Jesus insulting intimidating the religious people that day. You know, who do you think you are, man? We run this place. We know God's with us. We don't know who you are. We know God's with us because we got Moses on our side, and he's the man. You know, and just little old you and your little fisher boys. I don't think so. It's the same thing going on right now, friend. I mean, literally going on right now. So it's going to be a thriller, that's for sure. I mean, it's literally going to be a thriller. I don't know if you're ready for a thriller. Are you ready for a thriller? You may not be. But either way, it's going to happen. So either sit back and watch, see the salvation of the Lord, or be a part. That would be fun. Step out, risk it. Get some brisket and eat it and become risky. Risk it for Jesus. Yeah, he'll take care of you. He'll watch over you. All right, let's do communion. Thank you, Jesus, for opening the eyes of your people. Mainly, it's when you get your eyes open, then fear is so strong right now. And the one reason we're doing this is because fear is so predominant in the globe. And not just fear of COVID and the vaccine thing, but fear of the oppressing Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon system cranking down on the church. But they don't realize, because you're part of PGN, if you are, we're not that church. That's not the church that God's clamping down on. It's the church that we've been talking bad about. It's those people, that haven't listened, that have hardened their hearts. And it's all been made for a show. It's going to be the biggest show in town. Choose which side you want to be on. Seriously. Yeah, it's fun to laugh through this stuff, and I may cry through some of it, I'm not sure. I may cry when I'm off the show, but right now I'm just laughing about it. Like, it's just like, oh my gosh, God is so good. All right. Okay, so let's do this thing. And let's do this thing. Yeah. All right. Get offerings and pray over them. Let's go with that. Where's that at? Right over here. There we go. All right. I think we pretty well nailed it tonight. Because the main thing we did tonight, we explained the season that we're in to God's people, and that's you. In case you didn't know, maybe you already knew, but in case you didn't know, now you know from me personally and what the Lord is showing me. I know nothing in and of myself, literally, and I mean that literally. I know nothing in and of myself. I can't figure this stuff out. I'm not smart enough. And those people that want to come at it, they know that I'm not, Mr. Smarty Pant, as far as, and it's kind of all a big show for God. God, can I just tell y'all something before we pray, Robin? Can I just do this? This is so funny how God does this. He uses somebody who's obviously not got what other people have. you could fill in the blanks yourself. And just like Moses, can he put Moses up there, or Jesus, any of them? Like, he pulls Moses up there, and he's like, this guy ain't got nothing, man. I got all the money. I got all the military. I got all the power. This is all my kingdom. He's inside my kingdom. I'm not inside his. He's on my territory. He hasn't got a chance, right? And so it just makes your enemies, so to speak, chomp at the bit, going, man, this is going to be easy. This dude, man, we just one little swipe of the legal realm or the money realm or the oppressing, like do a few little things to threaten. Like, he's going to run with his tail between his legs, like, he knows he ain't got nothing, right? I mean, that's how God sets it up. That's the bait. I'm the bait. I am the bait. Look at me. Just look at this. I mean, come on. Listen to this. You think this is something? This ain't nothing. I ain't got nothing. It's like the Lord's going, yeah, you're just perfect, Randy. And it's almost like an insult. And if in my pride, something like, that's an insult, God. He picked me because I'm weak and because I haven't got much of anything. And now you have me railing against the religious system that has millions of dollars and attorneys, and we never lose one, haven't lost one yet. I mean, and all that, like, whoa. I'm the bait, y'all. I mean, does that tell you something about how important I am? I'm the dadgum bait. Yeah. I'm like the bait that gets the bear to come out of the woods and thinks he's going to get a meal, and he ends up getting in the trap, So I'm not sure how much of the bait they're going to get to eat, or whatever, but it's all a setup, that's for sure. Even though, like I said, even though Moses told him it was a setup and that they didn't have a chance, of course, they had so much pride, so much money, they didn't believe it. Yeah, he's bluffing. He's bluffing. He's bluffing. It's a bluff. It's like when they went through the Red Sea and Israel got through. It's like, eh, it's all a bluff. We're fine. He's bluffing. You know, look at that. This has opened up for us. Now we can really take him down. And didn't work. How would you like to be the bait? I mean, think about that. Would you like to be the bait? I don't think you would. It's not very cozy. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know why I laugh about this stuff. It's not really that funny, actually. It's not really that funny. All right. But I guess it is because I'm laughing. Oh, my God. Seems like Thursdays I just do a lot of laughing. I'm not sure what's up with all that. But, okay. I'm trying to get here. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay, give me a second. I'm registering offerings as they come in. Okay. Thank you for giving tonight. Bless you for doing whatever God tells you to do. We're so grateful for that. If you need the link to give on PayPal, just give me that. Ask for the link and I'll get it to you. Okay? We'll be glad to do that for you. Thank you for that. Let me check one more time here and make sure we're good. I'll move on. Yeah, I think we are. All right, let's start praying over offerings tonight. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Andrea, $5 building fund. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for her life, God. We thank you, Father, for that her latter glory be greater than her former glory, that her latter days be greater than her former days, God. But that's your plan, that's your purpose. Connected her in to your life-giving flow and showing her, God, that you know this is the crowning moment, this is the crowning time. And that bring those alongside her, Father, however you choose to do it, to aid and abet her and cause her to be strengthened in the midst of all of her, you know, the warfare we go through. You know, we go through warfare. And she's a single person, Lord, and you know that. And single people just have, you know, a woman. I thank you, Lord, for using her to, you know, to reveal your glory. You use the weak things, like Randy. You know, you use the bait. You use us for bait. That just really hit me off. I never thought about being used as bait. That's just, honest to God, that was like the first time I've ever thought about that. And, yeah, that was too much. Jesus, you are funny. You're absolutely hilarious. You're absolutely hilarious, Lord. I mean, literally, he's a hoot, man. Literally a hoot. Just, oh, God. All right. Okay, so if you give, maybe send me a text or something because I'm going to get busy praying here for people and it's hard to keep up with it when people give. I'm praying for people because then I stop and get distracted. And then I miss somebody's offering sometimes, so pray for me. All right? Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea. God bless you. Amen. Manjula. Thank you, Manjula, for that $7. We just bless you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the character of Christ, the character, the nature of Christ in you. I see the character of Christ getting into your money. Wow, that's amazing. Getting into your money. I don't know what that means exactly, but the character of Christ getting to your money. What would that be, Lord? Give me some kind of something here. The character of Christ getting into your provision realm. The character of Christ. In other words, the character of Christ, meaning that his love and his personality and his character and his, I guess, is like, you know, he says he's going to provide for us. So in order for his character to come, you know, the Christ's character in him, you know, his character. Taking care of you is part of his character, part of who he is, right? So it's like you're going to see his character in your financial and in your provision room. In other words, he's going to take care of you. Yeah, and you're going to know it. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, thank you, Lord. All right, Nicole, D.C., $8.88. Thank you, Nicole. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that whole thing about faith and fear, God, that, you know, fear surrounds us for many different reasons. And the Bible says in the last days, people are going to have heart issues because of fear. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are causing Nicole to walk in that place to where her faith will swallow up any fears that try to come along. Because so God, you know, showing you that. You know, his grace is sufficient for you, and knowing that, you know, you can't do it yourself, you can't protect yourself, you can't keep yourself, only he can do that. Sometimes he really makes us aware of that so that we can, you know, acknowledge him and know that we glory in our weaknesses, you know, in our human frailties, you know, not weaknesses of sin or that kind of thing, so much as, you know, the frailty of the flesh, the frailty of being a human being and being a woman and being, you know, the loss of your husband and all that, and taking that thing and imparting his grace to you in the realm of faith. And that when you feel like you don't have the faith for a certain thing, it's like you don't have to hold up the globe. You don't have to hold up the world. You don't have to do that. God's going to do it for you. And by his grace, by his unmerited, undeserved favor. In other words, we know we come short, you know, of the things that we need. Paul the Apostle, I mean, it was so amazing. The other night, my brother from Florida, Donald, started talking about some things. I just never thought about it before. It was absolutely mind-boggling to me and so amazing. The spirit of revelation on this. He said, Randy, I'm finding myself glorying in what I don't have. You know, glorying in what I don't have. Instead of, you know, trying to find things that I do have and use it as a positive faith confession, you know, like positive thinking. Instead, like Paul the Apostle said, and even like Jesus did, like, I can do nothing without my Father. Nothing. And that's where grace kicks in. And Paul the Apostle was a very smart man and able to do a lot of things. Like you, you're a smart person and able to do a lot of things and figure things out and work strategies and that kind of thing, you know, to make things work. And that's, you know, Paul was very good at it. And God, you know, took that, and in a sense, took that from him and didn't allow him to use that anymore. That didn't work for him anymore because God was teaching him how to walk in unmerited favor and grace, which became his very best friend, right? I mean, that became his best friend. Wow. So I see grace becoming your best friend, and your weaknesses and your human inadequacies of just being a human being becoming your best friend instead of your enemy. I have to say my weaknesses have been my enemy because I'm thinking, man, if I didn't have this, you know, I'd be like this, right? Yeah, well, it says I'm working something. Get ready to see it. All right, Mike, and I think Mike and Veronica from Pennsylvania. Thank you, Mike. $7, we just bless you for that, and thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for being up on the high end of things, the high end of things. God's wanting to show you that, you know, he wants to show you that you're the head and not the tail. And, you know, and knowing that you're the head and not the tail, you know, it's going to open up to you, you know, not just faith confession about it and keep confessing it till you get it, but it's more about God revealing to you that, you know, it's about it's about the calling of being the head and not the tail. And sometimes we think that everything we get, we're at the tail end of everything. I'm like, at the tail end of this. You know, and that's the way I feel sometimes. I don't know about you, but I feel like that sometimes. I feel like I'm at the tail end of things. And God's going to show you the glory of that. He's going to show you the beauty of that. He's going to show you that that's why he likes you. That's why he looks at you with pleasure, is because of that. And so this, man, there's a realm of revelation tonight on all this stuff. Y'all seeing this? This is really cool what I'm starting to get into. That you're the head and not the tail. And, you know, in spite of how circumstances and things seem to whip us and chastise us, it seems like sometimes, it does me, and, you know, like, you know, you're really great at this, but you can't do that with a flip. And because you can't do that with a flip, you know, I can't use you like you want. That's what the devil lies to us about. And yet that becomes the very thing that God says, you know, I'm going to show you that, you know, when I say something, that's it. I'm making you the head and not the tail. And so, yeah, but being the tail end of things means we're always the last, you know, the last to be first. But this, in this sense, it's kind of like, well, the last of the last. It's like, the Lord says, you know, I'm going to, because I keep hearing the Lord say that I'm going to change the way we view Christianity, the Lord says. I'm going to use, you know, PGN, like, you know, the revelation that my brother got the other night, Donald, really awesome, how he glories and he's finding himself working on glorying in his weaknesses and what he doesn't have and the things he's not good at, you know, like Paul the Apostle said. And I mean, look at that. That's amazing, man. That is so cool. What a word. Oh, my gosh. And so, you know, and so God's going to change. He's going to use you, bro. As an example of, we can't ever seem to get it right. And God's like going, yeah, and because you keep crying out to me about it, I'm going to make it right, right? Like, we become the head instead of the tail. So it's just like our pride, Randy Chandler's pride. I've told you all about my pride many times. And God just always dealing with my pride. And I can understand a little bit Paul. I think Paul might have had a bigger problem than me. I don't know. Mine was pretty bad. But you know, our pride tells us that, you know, that's not good. Like, you know, our pride tells us, yeah, well, I want to be told that I don't have much. I don't have much. And it provokes our pride, and which is exactly what Paul got that thorn in the flesh, because it provoked his pride, right? Because he was, like, weak and couldn't handle it. You know, it's probably some of the most simple things that anybody could take care of, but he couldn't take care of it because, you know, it's like, I can't even take care of these little things, man. What's wrong with me? And God says, I'm going to teach you to live by my grace. I'm going to teach you to do that. And so, so it's just pretty amazing how that God's going to, like, gut. He's going to gut, you know, the way Christianity has been looked at and how we get off on the wrong things and, you know, think about the wrong things. And, you know, if somebody dare tells us something that sounds negative, especially in front of people, it's like, well, that's insulting. Why would you want to tell people? Well, because we're going to glory in our weaknesses. Sometimes I've seen myself do that. I give people words that's like, why are you embarrassing them in front of people, God? What's going on? It's not like he's embarrassing in front of people as much as he's saying, if you interpreted it properly, you'd be going, we're glorying in our weaknesses. We're glorying in our weaknesses. Therefore, God becomes glorious, and you become the head, so to speak, because not because you're all that and bad to the bone like we all want everybody to think. And I want everybody to think I'm bad to the bone, man of God, you know, I don't fear COVID can mess with me. Now, I just rolled down the window with my wife being tested positive, trying to suck some air in and hold my breath. It's like, God, I got a COVID positive test person in my truck with me. When it hit reality, man, I'm sitting there going, I did okay, but it was not very good, honestly. I didn't go through that very well. It's almost like she was testing my testing my fears or something, or God was, I don't know. You know, saying, hey, wake up, boy. You need to wake up. Don't get arrogant, Randy. In any kind of fashion or form, we're going, okay, Jesus, sorry. You know, the most simple things were taking me down. You know, like simple things, like that shouldn't be taking me down. I should have told her to put on a mask and start breathing her freshly, you know, COVID positive, you know, results in my truck. You know, gosh, don't you have any respect for the man of God? Put on that mask. Don't breathe. Roll down your window. But, you know, she didn't do that. And I didn't ask her because I just thought, you know, that I'm going to look weak if I do that. I'm going to look like I'm a chicken if I say that. Like, what's wrong with you, Randy? You a chicken? I thought you were the man of God, faith and power. You don't care about COVID, which I've never really said that. But that's kind of what it seems like, you know. Yeah. So there you go. All right, Donald and Tanya, I mean, the same word, basically, what I just said over Mike, you know, I used your message, basically, I didn't realize you were next in line, and there you are. You know, dude, I mean, come on, man, this is some awesome stuff. God's getting ready to change the face of, like, when you look at Paul the Apostle in all truth, Donald, and I'm sure you have, and yeah, I know you have, and I have too, and I am. I've seen it more all the time. But God's opening our eyes to how weak the dude was. You know, he was so mighty strong. He went, I'm a Pharisee. You know, you're hearing Brad, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, he was a true, dedicated man of God and a teacher and a Pharisee. And, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he was like the top of the line boy. You know, he wasn't down at the bottom. He was like, you know, like, whoa. And, you know, and yet when you see him, and if he can't even hardly talk. It's like he stuttered like Moses, you know, like that. Like that. I said, I know when I come to you guys, you know, my letters are strong, but when I come, my speech is not that great. I'm not that great of a, you know, talker and stuff. And he wasn't. I don't know if God made him like that, if that was his thorn. I'm not sure. I never thought about his thorn being that. But it's like God used it. And because of that, the power of God rested on him. I mean, he was like, people made fun of Paul, you know, the super apostles, you know that? The super apostles made fun of him, like, yeah, you know, Paul says, yeah, I may be weak in, you know, in body, but my you know, I may be weak in some ways, but my presence, when I come, I'm, you know, I come with a rod. It's like, I'm like, you? I don't think so. And it was all like a disguise from God, like God disguised him, God, you know, he was a sheep. He was a sheep in lion's clothing. He was a sheep in lion's clothing. Never thought about that before. He was a sheep in lion's clothing. You know, instead of a wolf in sheep's clothing, he was a sheep in lion's clothing. That was Paul, man. Like, he's weak. Even Paul says, you know, he became so weak, it's like probably tormented him. Because it's like, you know, I got to come across strong, God. I got to come across. I got some tough things to deal with. I got to be the man of God. You know, I can be the man of God. What's they're gonna run over me? They'll take over, and they did. They tried to take over, and yet, you know, yeah. Anyway, Donald Tony, there you go. Yes, God's opening your eyes to this stuff. It's amazing, really cool. All right, Donna from Florida, my friend Donna. Yes, Donna, from Florida. I saw that. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Jesus, for Donna, God. I thank you, Lord, for all the high-minded things that people think about people, and how we're always trying to, you know, do the high-minded thing, and people do the high-minded thing with us and, like, condescend on us and make us feel like we're less than. And I see, you know, I see the spirit of meekness and humility upon you to the point to where God doesn't allow that condescending spirit that people walk in sometimes to get you off track, to get you mad, you know, to get you disturbed. But that humility, Christ in you, the Lamb of God, the sheep in you, the worshiping, vulnerable on your face, you know, I can't do anything without you, Jesus, part of you, just like, you know, it doesn't even faze you. Because, you know, honestly, Don, the enemy uses all kinds of things to intimidate us, to make us feel less than, like, yeah, I'm a doctor, but all you are is a nurse. You know, I'm the president, but all you are is a vice president, you know, or something. I don't know. So it's like that whole thing. It insults us, intimidates us, and so we feel intimidated around people that we shouldn't. We're going like, that's why I feel intimidated. And so when God works that, as God has worked his humility in you and his meekness in you, it's like you're going to be strong. It's like what I was talking about earlier about Paul being a sheep in lion's clothing. It's like, that's kind of like you. It's like, you know, you don't look, you may not look like much as far as, you know, having money and power and, you know, graduated from the greatest, you know, schools in the land, but there's something in you. There's a treasure that God's going to reveal and unveil. That's the treasure inside you that's going to help people open up to and see something that they've never seen with you. And it's going to be the treasures of Christ in you, the treasures of his humility, the treasures of his faith, the treasures of his love, the treasure of his compassion, the treasures you know, whatever you need, you know, I can be that for you in Christ Jesus, you know, and be all things to all people, is what I'm saying. And people see the treasure inside of you. God's unlocking the treasure that you are to those around you and those that love you and those that care about you and those that maybe don't understand you. Maybe they just look at you like a human being. They don't see you as a treasure that Christ has made you. And God's going to reveal to you what's been going on in your closet, you know, that quiet time, that place that where God's been doing a great work, just you and him. And what you've been doing with him and you and him alone is going to be revealed to the people around you, people who need to see it, even enemies, even people who are arrogant, you know, whatever, self-sufficient people, Christians even, of course. Yeah. All right, Gary and Mary, $18. Thank you, Gary and Mary. Building fund. Colossians, I think they said building fund. I may have erased that. Their scripture for the night, Colossians 1:19-20, NIV. For God, who was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Wow. All his fullness dwell in him, Jesus. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, for the things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:20-23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish. Listen, friend, this is what he's Christ, that you will be presented without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Amen. Shalom, Gary, Mary. And also, I think I said something about them having trouble with COVID hit them. And they said, praise God that God has healed us from COVID. Shalom. Yeehaw. That's what I say when I go, amen, glory to God. Yeehaw. That is awesome. Yeehaw to that. And Jesus will give you the glory for that. God bless Gary and Mary. We thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for they said they're still having a little bit of weakness, but not much. Doing really good. So we thank you, Jesus, for Gary and Mary. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening them. We thank you, Lord, that I see you like not hiding things. Like some people try to hide their humanity, you know, like their humanness, you know, and like try to be a super apostle, Gary. And I see God really bring you to a place where people get around you, they're just going to be able to trust you. They're going to go like, I trust you, especially if you're flying airplanes again, right? I trust you, Gary. Fly us on, brother. You know, it's like, it's like God, you know, allowing you to be who you are in him and raw and real in a sense. And people being able to trust you and trust that about you, that you have their best interest in mind, that you have you know, you want the best for them, and they're going to know it, and they're going to know that you don't mind, you know, somehow helping them get that or understand that or see that, and them trusting you as a shepherd type of person that really wants their best, has their best interest in hand. And I thank you, Jesus, for Gary, for that love in him, for the love of God in him, for the mercies of Christ in him, and yet for that strong lion of the tribe of Judah, in Jesus' name. And tribal things are going to become important for some reason, Gary. I don't know if tribes, you know, like Israel has tribes. I don't know what that's, if it's about Israel tribes or tribes. The tribal arena and the tribes are going to be important. You know, the 144,000. You know, that's, you know, every tribe and nation, tongue, and, you know, all that. Tribes. I don't know what that is, but that's going to be important in a season, and you're going to be part of that. All right, Mary, thank you, Lord, for Mary. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God. I thank you for protecting her, keeping her, watching over her, God, and touching every part of her body, causing her that anointing, that healing anointing to rise up from her belly, out of her belly, out of her most inner being, in Jesus' name, and, you know, and healing her and making her whole, God, for she's a whole person. Hallelujah. Able to function in every way with an anointing, the power of God, the love of Jesus, in Jesus' name, because you have made her whole. You haven't just healed her. They're going to say of Mary, God made her whole. God made Mary whole. And whole meaning being able to be all things to all people, because when God makes you whole, every part of you can, you know, find a way to understand somebody's issue, somebody's problem. And God's really giving you the spirit of intervention and compassion and understanding to understand people's fears, understand, you know, why they do what they do, and understand it. If we can understand people, and people know that we understand them, believe me, they will lay down all their weapons, and they will surrender to God. And I see that happening. All right, we've got Amelia. Have fell down two stories down the elevator shaft. Pray for Amelia. And we pray for Amelia tonight, God, that Gary Marison is in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for watching over and letting their healing. I think broke some ankle bones. Thank God. Fell down two stories down the elevator shaft. That, I mean, that's like, I can't even imagine that. Amelia. In Jesus' name, bless, God, and touch, and may your tenderness and your mercies move in and mend those bones and mend that thing and move into that fear realm and show Amelia the faith of Jesus Christ and his love and his compassion. I don't know who this is. Mariola? I can't even hardly see the word anyway, but let me see what I got over here. I got it on my phone. I can see it better on my phone. Oh, Mariola May, DeFranco, is still struggling with symptoms of COVID. We thank you, Jesus. We just plead the blood. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over Mariola. And bless Mariola in the name of Jesus, and we command every bit of fear to be relinquished. And God, let her see that her life is before her, and God has blessed her with many days in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Right now, amen. All right, Karen. I think Karen gave twice. I'm not sure. I'm going to pray for her twice. She gave 20 here, and then I think 50 later. Okay, hang on a second. Okay, here is the week's scripture. Oh, you're hearing. Okay, don't leave earth without him. Yeah, Jesus, don't leave earth without him. That's right. Thank God for complete healing, Gary and Mary say. Amen. I totally agree, brother. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen. Okay. Gary and Mary. Don't leave, Jesus, don't leave earth. Oh, that's funny. That is funny. All right. Father, thank you for that. I pray for freedom and salvation and protection. Lord, with Karen, God, we thank you, Lord, for that. I declare and decree that over Karen's life, over her family. In Jesus' name, God, that your people be set free, that you set them free on the inside and then set them free on the outside so they can go celebrate their freedom to the fullness. When you make a person whole, you don't just make them whole on the inside. Wholeness means you make them whole, you know, in every area where they can function in life and get out and be a part of life and live a healthy, good life and feel blessed and feel like God is on their side because they've chosen him and they're on his side. Now he gets like, it's like God makes him feel like he's on their side. Yeah, when the truth is we got on his side. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for Karen. I thank you that Karen got on your side, Lord, which means that you're on her side now because she got on your side. And, you know, I see God using you, Karen, to pray people that they will choose sides. Let's choose you this day who you will serve. And I see your prayer praying that or saying that or something, I don't know. But the future thing or something you already do, I don't know. But choose you this day who you will serve. And literally draw the line in the sand so that people can make a decision. If they reject him, then that rejection will cause them more conviction. And they may be convicted for, you know, a season. And then another line is drawn. And that season of conviction and misery, if you will, and, you know, will bring them to a place of, you know, finally coming to Christ. So we thank you, Jesus, for that and the anointing of Karen, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bless her with the spirit of freedom, like you said, in Jesus' name. And let her see salvation in ways that she's never seen it before, Father, that you save in every – you don't just save us spiritually, you get born again and go to heaven. You save us and bring the full blessing of your covenant on us in the earth. The covenant is a lot about what goes on in the earth. And your protection, your provision in the earth, God, open her up to that in Jesus' name. Let her see that, so she will, her faith will be loosed to receive it. All right, Angela Lanham. God bless you, Angela Lanham, my friend, 21. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for her brother, Kevin, and her friend, Juan Carlos. Okay. All right, hang on a second here. Let me get back here. Okay. All right. Okay, let's go there. Yes, your brother Kevin. We thank you, Jesus, for Angela, God. We thank you, Lord, for her brother Kevin, God, and in Jesus' name, and cause Kevin to choose, you know, bring him to places where he has to choose. And then when he makes the wrong decision, then just teach him, you know, why did I make that wrong decision? Because you chose wrong. And you chose wrong because your heart, God wants to help you in your heart. He wants to help you see things clearly so you can make the right decision, make the right choices. So it seems like we think, depending on how you see, like some of the friends I've chosen in my past, you know, they look right. I kind of got along with them. It's like, but when I chose them as my friend, when I got to know them, it's like, oh, my gosh, these people are messed up. So I realized that my choice was because, you know, I couldn't see, you know, and I couldn't help anybody back then. So I couldn't help them even if I wanted to. God, I don't know how, but so I would, you know, make wrong decisions because something in my heart was blinded. I couldn't see, you know, to make the right decision. So right decisions are not just figuring things out. Only it is being able to see and know and discern this is the wrong thing, this is the wrong person. And give Kevin the strength to do that, Father. And when he makes a mistake, just let him not just blame the circumstances, but let him realize that his eyes need to be open. Just that simple. When your eyes are open, you see. When they're not, you're blind. All of us. Any of us. Yeah. So, and her friend Juan Carlos. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for Juan Carlos. And, Lord, just bless Juan and let the passion that Juan has to serve you, to run things and to serve, let him run things by serving you and let him run things according to the way you want to run things. In Jesus' name, and his system become your system, God. And his system become your system. The way he, you know, The reason he does things and why he does them is for, you know, your purposes, God, and for your the way you want to do it, your design. And Jesus saying instead of his own, that he will realize that his own is, you know, dark and, you know, selfish and just, it's our own. It has no purpose. But when we take on a higher burden, a higher, we care for things in a higher level, then we move to a higher place. And therefore, God bless us. So bless Juan in Jesus' name. Open him up. And just thank you, Lord, for Angela to give her that peace, God, the peace of God reigning in her heart. And that that your peace will rule and reign in her in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to walk in peace and walk in great authority because of that. All right, Sandra, $25. God bless you, Sandra. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the wholehearted laughter, wholehearted peace, wholehearted union, wholehearted. I see like your whole heart. God just like, God is concerned. He wants to make sure your whole heart is fully full of joy and peace. Fully, every little burr in our saddle, every little thing, sometimes the little things, you know, cause just enough discomfort to, you know, where we can't relax. And I see God removing things, you know, things away, because he's bringing you to a place of complete whole peace to where your heart is at peace with where you are right now and where you're not and where you're going and where you're not yet, you know, and even being content with that, going, okay, God, I trust you that you're taking me. I trust you that you're helping me. I trust you that without you, I can't do this. I feel alone. I feel, you know, so you know, if I'm going to be alone, I'm going to be alone with you. And I don't mean that you're alone, like you don't have anybody around you, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes we can be around a whole bunch of people and still feel alone. It's like sometimes God uses that thing to draw us to that place to where we have perfect union with him. And when we have perfect union with him, we walk in full satisfaction, full joy, full peace. And when you walk in that, your fear level is like nothing. Your faith level is like awesome. And I thank you, Jesus, for producing your wealth in Sandra, God. You called her to wealth, Father, in Jesus' name, the wealth of your glory. And with the wealth of your glory, yeah, it has to do with money, too. It's not just money, but it has to do with money, too. It's being made whole, being your heart being fully satisfied means that everything that the covenant provides for you is what makes your heart have everything fulfilled in it, that every part of the covenant, spirit, soul, body, finances, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that full covenant blessing, God, in Jesus' name, that's being activated in you, in Jesus' name. And I see a treasure being brought to you in the near future. It's going to come with blessing and peace. It's going to come come in pieces. I'm not sure what that means, it comes in pieces. But it's coming. It's on the way, in Jesus' name. And I think it has to do with money and finances, in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. That's really nice. All right, Marja, $30. God bless you, Marja. In Jesus' name, for Marja, $30. Thank you, Lord, for God. I thank you a lot, Lord, for her life. I thank you, God, that you positioned her for such a time as this to be a light in a dark season, in a dark time, in a dark place, to be a light, like a, a light. Power of light. In Jesus' name, it's like I see, you know, I remember Oral Roberts built this. You may not know who Oral Roberts is, but he built the City of Faith in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I love that he built a prayer tower. And it's like I see you in this prayer tower or something. And like God is lifting you up into this prayer tower. And you're able to look around and see, you know, because you're not on the ground. You're up high in a place where you can see high. And God is positioning you for such a time as this spiritually, and where you can see and pray, and like I tell people all the time, if your eyes aren't open for this season, you're going to interpret everything wrong. Everything's going to look negative, and everything's going to look bad. Everything looks like we're going to hell in a handbasket when it's just the opposite. And God, as you take communion, Marjorie, and you see God, his eyes are open, your eyes are being open to that. You're able to see pure disaster sometimes as like God's glory going to manifest because it happened. you know, like see the what God's going to do in the midst of it. Ashes being turned into, you know, God creating things through the ashes of a destruction of, you know, a people or a nation or a government or a company or whatever, that from those ashes are going to grow, you know, powerful subsidies and buildings and businesses and ministries and things. In Jesus' name, and God wanting you to, you know, pray that into existence because it's his will. Yeah. Let me get some water here. All right, give me just a minute. Paula gave last week $25, and I missed her. Sorry, I did that. I missed her last week. And then $25 this week. And thank you. That's $50. Thank you, Paulette. And she wanted me to pray for Shamari, his fiance, and her parents all have COVID. I know that was last week, and I missed that. So thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for touching Shamari and her son, Shamari, and his fiance. God, we thank you for Shamari. God, I thank you, God, that that Shamari, that you, God's going to bring people into Shamari's life to show him what he doesn't want to be and show him what he does want to be. And God's going to maybe, I'm sure God's already done it before, but he, sometimes God brings us people that we think, well, man, I really respect that person. I really think they're cool. And we'll kind of think, well, I would like kind of like to be like that. And I see God bringing Shamari as someone who, some people, a person probably, that will be somebody that he can look up to and go, I want to be like that, and start finding out how I can be like that. And God using that to draw him into a new, you know, a new fellowship and a new place with the Lord. And, yeah, where he goes, he starts really examining himself and going, yeah, you know, this is really awesome, man. You know, I want this. I really want to do this and really have the passion to do it. And, well, I think for his fiance and their parents, God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over them. Right now, the power of the blood, we thank you, God, that bring everything around full cycle for them to where they can see what they need and be blessed. Jesus, that you can touch them right now. I declare and decree the blood of Jesus over them. God, that you will not allow them to miss anything in their life, that everything that will cause them to fail, that you will take it and turn it into a blessing to cause them to be successful, that they will be successful people, God, as a family and as business people, as people who have business mind, and in Jesus' name, and her daughter Kayla, that God brings her home, save her and break her addiction. Yes, oh my gosh, I understand the addiction thing. In Jesus' name, I've had friends. Addiction can just be, depending on whether it's genetic or not in the genes, but that's really a difficult thing. So I thank you, Jesus, for the whole realm of addiction. God, we thank you, God, that usually people have addiction issues, it's because they have a craving and a hunger. And once they get a hold of Jesus, they become cravingly falling in love with Jesus. And I see Kayla just cravingly falling in love with Jesus and laying down her pride of, you know, about, you know, I do what I want to do when I want to do it. You know, to be really like that. And I am now, except spiritually. It's just, but it can be good. You know, I'll be like, you know, so she's not going to, that you're going to bring her out of following people. And because when people lead her, the blind leading the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Let her see that, God, and let her be the one that comes out of the ditch, comes out of the blindness, and you open her eyes, God, to see sweet Jesus. Do you see Jesus as sweet and precious and beautiful and not as somebody who's out trying to judge her and take her down, but just the opposite. Let her see Jesus and God as a lover and a best friend. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. She needs a best friend. God, Jesus, you got to be best friends to people who are addicted. Amen. Jesus is a friend to Kayla in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Amen. And your peace over Paulette, God, I thank you that your peace, that she starts praying in a whole other realm of peace. Peace meaning, you know, to have a horrible situation, going through a tough situation, to be able to pray in peace, that God's going to work it and God's going to keep them from disaster and from death and destruction, and going to do something, give them, you know, bring them through it. That she will pray in that peace and release that peace, God. A new anointing upon that, to pray in a realm of peace and the knowing God's going to do it. Instead of, oh, God, please, please. It's like, you know, I mean, I pray like that sometimes. But it's like when I enter into the spirit, it's like I start knowing that it's done and a peace comes over me. And sometimes I forget to pray again. Cause, you know, why did I forget? Because when I prayed, man, the peace of God flows, it allows you to forget. You know, you move on. You move to the next thing, so to speak. Amen. Forgiving, forgetting. When we, you know, we just forgive and forget. Amen. All right, Angela Joy, $50. Thank you, Angela. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just sense this. I just see God just creating things, opening up and creating things for you and creating desires, creating passion, creating favor, and showing you things that you want, that you desire, and getting a practical view, a practical picture of, yeah, you know, I like that. That's pretty good. I like the way they do that ministry thing. I like the way they do this. And, you know, the structural part of it. I changed this and I changed that. But it kind of gives you some kind of a structural thing to look at to go, I like that. I like the way that, you know, I'll change this and change that. But I like the basic structure of this thing. And in Jesus' name, and give you something to work with in your prayer. Give you something to work with to step out for and believe God for. And I see you like get a new excitement in your spirit about, you know, new things, new projects, new things going on. Amen and amen. All right. All right. Anya, I think I prayed over Anya. I did miss Anya. Thank you, Jesus, for Anya, $3. Thank you, Anya, for that. We just bless you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for Anya that she... care person, that caregiver inside of her, Father, that cast your cares upon the Lord, and he's going to, you know, like cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will renew your strength and give you're going to soar like an eagle. Wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength, and you shall mount up as wings of eagles and soar. In Jesus' name, with the caregiver of Jesus, the part of you that likes to do things right, likes to think things, see things clean and organized and beautiful, and that God's going to allow it to take over every part of your life, and you've got to find Him, like I don't know how to explain this. I know you clean houses, but like the Lord cleaning your house for you, while you clean other people's houses. You go clean your house. So, as far as the principle of what I see happening here is that, you know, you take care of God's stuff, God's going to take care of yours. That's what I see happening. The care you take for others is what God's going to do to take care of yours. He's going to take care of your family, going to make sure things work out, because you are giving your life away to the Lord. People say, oh, you're just neglecting your family, neglecting your children if you don't do this, do that, and the other. So sometimes the Lord says, yeah, you can do that sometimes. But sometimes the Lord says, yeah, I want you to give your life away, and you take care of other people's houses, I want to take care of your house. Yeah. And sometimes people preach against that because they think that's wrong. But if God says do it, then it's important. All right. All right, Noel, $50. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Noel from California. We thank you, Jesus, for Noel. God, I thank you for the time of peace and rest and adjustments and thinking things through and giving her, because I see you seeing things in a whole new way, looking at things through a whole new lens. And that within itself is going to give you a whole new purpose, whole new design, how to do things, how to look at things. Because when you look at things like I keep telling people, you know, I use the Trump and Biden thing and all everything that's going on right now as if you could see what's really going on, like God opened up my eyes. If I had not, had I not seen it, I would have just bowed. I would have went, just like everybody else, I'd have been going, yeah, you know, that ain't right, that ain't fair, they cheated. That's what I'd have been, doing, just like everybody else. I'm not any different. But when God opened up my eyes, when he opened up my eyes, then I could see, and then I interpreted things correctly, and I could see where the blessing was going to be in a situation. I could see, you know, like you prophesy, you know, a certain thing that doesn't look possible, looks crazy, but you get on the right side of it because you see it. But until you see it, you can't get on the right side of it. You can try, you can wish you were, you want to. So I see God just like, I don't understand through communion or how, what's going on, but I see like our communion prayers the last few weeks have been about opening up our eyes, like Elisha opened the servant's eyes. Because once you see it, then you don't have to groan and struggle and try to make it, you know, do what you think it's supposed to do. Like, people can take scripture and try to make that scripture come to pass. Well, that's not even what God wants to do. He didn't want to make Jesus rule the throne of David. He's going to die on the cross and then come back to rule. That's going to be later. So if you misunderstand things, then you misinterpret things, then it messes up everything. So seeing correctly, and I see God opening your eyes. Yeah, in Jesus' name, is showing you how to see it. I see you like falling down at his mercy. God, you know, I can't do this. Amen. I can't handle this. You know, this is too close to me. This is no way. And God using that very thing to show you your weakness is where he's going to move in and make you strong. And I mean make you strong. Yeah, with abundance. He's going to abundance you. He's going to hit you upside the head with abundance. I want to be hit up with this. I hope I can be hit up upside the head with that too, right? Yeah. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. That's kind of the way the Lord says things sometimes. It's amazing. All right, he chips out his head with prosperity, like blessing. Crazy, but lovely. All right, Karen again. I got another Karen here. Thank you. All right, I don't know what was that, Karen. $50. Thank you, Karen. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for that offering, and we just bless you tonight, and thank God for you that. The gratitude of Jesus flowing inside you. And all right, let me go here in a second. Karen, so, you know, I keep seeing, like, fire flickering around you, like God is lighting the fire. When God lights the fire, it's for light, but it's also to burn up things, you know, keep things from, you know, like thorns and thistles, keep things from messing with you. And I see like a new anointing, like a fire anointing, a fiery anointing coming upon you to burn away the things. Like sometimes we try to pray them out, you know, then when the fire shows up, it's like fire just takes care of things. You know, like, yeah, fire just destroys, you know, anything that's not solid. And I see God just destroying the things that try to mess with you. Because they're not solid. They're not God. And God's making you solid. He's making you sure. He's giving you a sure foundation. You know, letting you feel like you're going somewhere. Like, you know, I don't even understand it, but God has chosen me. And because he's chosen me, I'm going somewhere. I'm moving forward. I'm moving into, you know, a place where I can't fail. You know, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can't fail. That's what Peter did. Peter, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he didn't sink. But when he took his eyes off, even then, when he began to sink, he was so gracious. Jesus was so gracious that he came and took him by the hand and didn't let him have complete failure, right? Keep your eyes on Jesus, you never fail. And God wants to open you up to that, to the never failure realm. And never failure also means that if we do take our eyes off a little bit because we get distracted with the big wind blowing and God knows, you know, hey, you know, it happens, that we're still not going to be destroyed. It's not going to destroy. So God's allowing you to rest, Karen, in this place with a fresh anointing of fire of God, that it's a protective fire. It's a thing that says, I'm going to remove things out of your way for you so you can move forward, like the fire of God burning away your hindrances. So you just wake up one morning, so to speak, and it's like, wow, I don't know why I feel free. I feel like, interesting. Something's happened. And amen, it has. Yeah, it has. All right, LaShun, $40. Thank you, Jesus, for LaShun. Privacy, I think LaShun gave last week, even. I think I asked her prayer for her last week. She gave $40. Okay, let's do this. Hang on a second. Give me a minute. Okay. There we go. All right. Okay, let's go here. All right, Sean, and I think you gave last week. I don't think I prayed over your offering last week. I think I might have missed you and also all that. I'm pretty sure I missed you last week. Sorry about that. Thank you, Jesus, for the shun for that $40 this week and $4 last week. We thank you, Jesus, for the fun part of Jesus becoming more a part of your life. And because the fun part of Jesus with me, I was so serious, so died in the world, we're going to win the whole world to Jesus, witnessing to everything that walked, doing it, you know, whatever, and just looking, you know, like, oh, fire. and Lord saying, you know, Randy, you know what your problem is? What's keeping you from breaking through and moving forward and going really? He said, I'm going like, oh, man, I'm praying, you know, regularly and I'm in the Word all the time. You know, I'm seeking you all the time, always looking for your purpose, living right. What else can I do? And it's kind of like God goes, you need to laugh a little bit more. You know, and I'm not saying you don't laugh. I don't know who you laugh or not. But I think everybody laughs a little bit. But it's like I see the scales being balanced where your seriousness is there. And then with this laughing fun, having a riot. You know, and God balancing it out. So I don't know where you're at on the balance scale of that thing, but I see God really balancing that out. And when God did that with me, LaShun, it moved me to a whole different place, man. I was able to become a friend with sinners. Yes, I did get the offering for Rita. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Yes. And we're heading down that way. The bigger they are, the kind of down toward the end. So, amen. So, LaShun. So the whole thing of LaShun, the fun with LaShun. God having fun with LaShun, and I'm sure you already had fun and all that. But with me, it was like, you know, it wasn't just spontaneous. I couldn't just laugh at stuff that used to. I mean, I get upset about something. I mean, you know, righteous indignation. It's like, you know, now the things that used to upset me, I laugh about them. You know, I laugh about them most of the time. And so it's like I see you, like, entering to this place of victory in the Lord that, you know, it says that the Scripture talks about, and I think it's Psalms 2, it talks about how the Lord holds Satan in derision or mocks him with laughter. He laughs at him, and God, you know, opening up that strategy to you even more than ever, that the laughter of the Lord, you know, there to, it's kind of like a warfare strategy that blesses you and really intimidates him, insults him, like, how dare you laugh at me, you know, who do you think you are, you know, it's like, it insults him, it gets him, then it gets him angry. And he gets angry and makes mistakes. He gets angry and, you know, does stupid stuff. And so, this works not just with Satan himself, but and the enemy, but it works with the people that the enemy's trying to use against you, or whatever, or used to, you know, to hinder you. Even our friends sometimes are used by the enemy, and they don't mean to, they don't really want to, but they are. It happens, and it tries to get into your inside circle with your friends and mess with them, and then when you get offended at that, instead of, now I just like to laugh it off. Well, I may always laugh it off right at first. It took me a minute to go, oh, yeah. You know, really, that is kind of funny, Lord. It's kind of funny the way they went down. Like, I usually get upset about that. But it's like, that is funny. And then I would look at it and, like, instead of spending hours, you know, working through, you know, praying, you know, binding up, loosening, I just, my warfare strategy became laughter. I just laugh it off. Laugh it off in prayer. And so that whole derision thing of holding, you know, Satan in derision or mocking him in laughter. Yeah, and when I started doing that, you know, without even realizing it, I didn't realize what a powerful strategy that was. That was like sending out the praisers before you in a warfare, you know, and then winning the battle because the praisers were praising. It's kind of like that, yeah. And great victory and great power being released through you, through your, you know, laughter and, you know, actually, what happened there? She's not as serious as she used to be, and it's powerful. You know, Rodney Howard Brown, you know, had a laughter revival, and it was powerful, man. And I'm laughing myself, and I'm not saying laughing like that all the time. I'm just saying in general, now I laugh more than I cry. And I still cry, I still get serious. But it's a balance, and the warfare strategy is amazing. Amen. All right. Sally from UK gave $8 and then $48. Thank you, Sally. That's awesome. You know, I just see God turning the tide on you and with you, and like a new horizon, like the sun shining, you know, in the midst of the clouds and the darkness and the oppression and all the stuff. And just shining, you know, just like you feel like you wake up and go, man, it's like a new day or something. Is it a new day? Same day as well yesterday was, but it's a new day. There's something about this day that's a new day. And God awakening you to the new day realm. It's a new day. It's a brand new day. And it's not just on its way. It's here to stay. A brand new day. It has begun. It's because you won. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his grace is sufficient. His mercies are there. His grace is sufficient. And this whole thing of relaxing and knowing, you know, a little bit more and like going, God, I know, you know, yeah, we're working through this thing. You know what? Like something's happening. I feel like a new day is dawning. And it has, Sally. A new day has dawned on you. In Jesus' name, I ask you to make it real. Make it let her see the reality of it, Father. Open her eyes to it. Let her see it, that there's more for her than there are against her. And she's truly in a land of, you know, there's some tough stuff over there. In Jesus' name, bless her, increase her, multiply her, and let her grab a hold of this new thing you're doing, Jesus. 48, 8 and 48. Yeah. Yeah, he's making you, giving you a new world. Like I just looked at I'm looking at your numbers on my phone, right? 8 and then 48. Like 8 new creation. 4 means like, in that sense, the globe, your world. And then 8, like you're surrounded with new creation in Jesus of your world. God recreating your world. Amen. All right, Nikki and Charles, $60. Thank you, Nikki and Charles. I guess I pray for something. I don't think it was. Thank you, Jesus, for the river of God, flowing, the river of God, flowing, the river of God, flowing, All right, for building studio, I have an unspoken request. Okay, thank you, Randy, we love you. All right, thank you for that. Thank you. I'll read every note I get. I did read that one. Thank God for that. It's beautiful. Thank you. I really love it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I'm spoken prayer request. God, we thank you, Father, for the liver to deliver the liver. I just realized what I said, to deliver the liver. I don't know what that means. Liver, does that mean literally the liver? God is blessing the liver. What does the liver do? I don't know what the liver does. The liver. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. I'm not sure what it is, but let's see here. Deliver the liver. That's what I heard. That is crazy. Deliver the liver. What's liver do? Okay, liver. What's the liver? Liver. The liver is an organ only found in vertebrates, which is classified various metabolites. Okay. I don't know what the liver is, but believe that or not. I don't know what it does exactly. Which detoxifies various metabolites. Okay, the liver is an organ only found in vertebrates, which detoxifies various metabolites. What is that? Let me look that up. I'm just going along here looking at stuff. A substance formed in our necessary for metabolism. Metabolism thing. Okay, so God's done something with your metabolism. What's it produce? Metabolite. Interesting, metabolite. Okay. In or necessary for metabolism. So for your metabolism. I'm slow, but I'm getting it. Okay. And it synthesizes. Let's see what that is. In other words, I'm reading it out of the dictionary, of course. Make something by synthesis, especially chemically. Chemical synthesis. In chemistry, chemical synthesis is the article of execution of use of chemicals. Formation of something complex. I don't know. Got something to do something cool with the liver. Maybe your liver is being blessed and increased and multiplied. I don't know what that is. So it's the part of us that detoxifies. Interesting. God just bless her liver tonight after all that in the name of Jesus. Liver, deliver the liver. And let the liver, I know when we eat liver, it's like got iron in it, but I don't know. Has anything to do with anything, but in Jesus' name, sometimes my mom says, eat your liver, just get some liver. And, because it's good for you, the iron. But thank you, Jesus, for that. And just bless God her metabolism and all that. Oh, increase it, multiply it, make it fresh and new. And it produce strength, energy in the name of Jesus. And God bless Charles. God bless Charles and the family. God, just bless them, increase and multiply them. God, may Charles be the servant of God that he's always wish he could be, and greater. That as he's humbled himself to be your servant, God, that you truly make him a servant, like Moses was a servant. Elijah was a servant. You're making Charles a servant, God. You're making him into a servant in Jesus' name, and protecting him and keeping him and watching over him and making him a shepherd. Let that shepherd's heart come forth, Father, in Jesus' name, and provide for him the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ in him. Amen. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, so we got, let's go here. Endrica, $40. 10 for Tyree, 10 for Torrey, 10 for Endrica, 10 for Chris. Chris, yeah. Jesus, thank you for Tyreek. Lord, thank you, Lord, for blessing Tyreek today, God, to strengthen his blood system. Let his cellular area, his genetic code, Father, be cleansed and washed by your blood. And bring him energy, the right kind of energy, the kind of energy that doesn't wear him out, but the kind of energy that supports him. Bring the support around him, God. Let him feel supported In Jesus' name, God, support him. Show him that you are supporting him. In Jesus' name, if he'll support it. Support it in Jesus' name and blessed and supported. Like, okay, I'm supported. When you feel supported, when you are supported, you can relax, you can rest, you can, like, you know, somebody's got my back, that kind of thing. In Jesus' name. And Torrey, God, $10, thank you, Lord, for that, Torrey. In Jesus' name, bless Torrey with the peace of God. God, you show him the peace realm, that he'd be a child of peace, that he'd be blessed with the peacemakers, for they shall, you know, what does it say, blessed are the peacemakers that shall have peace, or something, blessed are the peacemakers. So there's the kingdom of heaven, I don't know what it says, but blessed are the peacemakers that God, you use Torrey to, first of all, as you give him your peace, that he becomes a peacemaker, that he makes peace. He knows how to make peace. He knows how to make peace. And I thank you, Jesus, for that peacemaking power in my brother in the name of Jesus. Amen. That peacemaking power in my brother to make, you know, in the name of Jesus, making peace. Hallelujah. Making peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Okay. A second. Make sure I'm getting this right. Okay, give me a second. Take another little look at my heart now, baby. I don't know who that's for. Make me feel good. Okay. All right. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Donna just gave for us. I'm going to pray for that here a little bit. Andrika, awesome. Victoria, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing. I thank you, just this whole realm of peace, God, like making peace. Like when you walk in that peace, Andrika, of God, that I see him shedding abroad. Where does scripture talk about shedding abroad? The love of God being shed abroad. That scripture is coming to me right now. Hang on a second. Shed abroad. Shed abroad. All right, here we go. Thank God for Google. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Okay, the King James. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. There it is, in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and which is given to us. And I thank you, Lord, for this shedding abroad. And when I heard the word shed abroad, when I thought abroad, you know, abroad. When I heard the word abroad, it's like almost like I heard like something like overseas or something, or like it's going to be spread out, like, you know, like overseas means you're going away, like something being spread abroad, like all over the place. So something being shed abroad. I don't just have to ESW Auto Sales. I'm not sure what this is, but I heard that. There's plenty of things when I heard the word shed abroad. And I know the scripture, Romans 5:5, King James Version says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I don't know. Is people going to come from other places to you? I'm not sure what that means. But God's going to shed abroad. I mean, like abroad meaning like, you know, like overseas type of a thing, like spread it out, spreading it out. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Like I see, you know, this is really cool. Because I see you with a crown on, like you're ruling, like you feel like you're ruling, like you, like you're in control, you know, because God, when God gives it to you and he says you're in control, it's like you feel like you're in authority. And when God moves us to the place where we're walking in authority, then we have the authority of a king to say, you know, whatever we want, we just, yeah, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go for this. This is what I need. And you just go for it. And it's God, and God giving you the grace to do that. I don't know if that's for now, or begin now, the future. I'm not sure what that is. But when I heard the word abroad, I thought like spreading things out, like all over the place. In Jesus' name, Lord, I think it's ESW Auto Sales, I think. I know we're going to pray for that. We're praying for that. Yeah. Liver cleanses the body of toxins. Okay. Interesting. Thank you, Jeannie. I just saw that. Liver cleanses the body from toxins. Okay. I think I kind of got that, but I didn't say it quite that clear. But she probably understands it, hopefully. I don't know if she does, because she's really into that. Okay, so I'm praying for Indrika right now. Indrika, I don't know, man. I feel something being spread about. That's just, I see it, I feel it, I know it. I mean, I know it. I know this. When I say I know it, it means I shoot no more boys. I know this. This is not, you know, it will be, kind of might be, it might be if you do everything perfect. I know that this is a known thing. Yeah. Plain as day to me. In Jesus' name. Plain as day. Plain as day. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. And Chris, we thank you, Lord, for that 10-note. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. God, that you make them a team together in the spirit that moves like an army, like an army of God, and combine things in unity, each understanding each weaknesses and each one understanding their strengths, that they give it all to each other and make it so they have no weaknesses, so that they have each other, the strength of each other, and then let that all combine together to a powerful army of God. In Jesus' name, for victory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah! Wow, Andrea, that's the auto sales, man. That's there's something about there's something going on with that girl. I feel that strong, really, really strong. Okay. Some people checking in haven't been in a while saying, your website's down. We got a new website. I got to have that fixed where that old thing works. Thanks for asking. All right. Okay. All right. Marja, $40 more. Marja gave $40 more. Thank you, Marja. In Jesus' name, I think it's Margaret 40 more for Margaret. Yeah. Yes, Margaret, $40. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you for Margaret, God. I thank you, God, that you are, there's a defining moment. There's a defining moment going on. And a defining moment. Let me look that up. Just make sure I understand. Defining. The defining moment. Defining moment. Okay, let's look it up. I'm just looking up the word defining moment. Okay, so give me a second here. All right. Defining moment. Okay, let me go back to this. Defining moment. an event which typifies or determines all subsequent related occurrences. Lord, give me something simple. This is a defining moment for him. There could be situations going on there. There could be great benefits. Yeah. Defining moment. In other words, there's some kind of an event going on, either going on or going to go on, which typifies or determines all subsequent related occurrences. I would like to have it a little bit more simple than that. Because I need it simple here. Here are some common defining moment examples. Getting, starting a new job or leaving an old one. Beginning a new business partnership. A defining moment. Defining moment, taking a big trip. Defining moment, paying a debt. Defining moment, finishing school. Defining moment, retiring. Defining moment, losing a love, what is a character defining moment? I'm reading all these things for you, Marjorie, because we have to go here. Hang on a second. So a defining moment, some kind of defining moment going on. So you're doing something right. There's something going on because a defining moment is something that, something old passes away, something new begins. A definitive moment. Conclusion, something being completed. Thank you, Jesus, for opening that up right now. Hallelujah. All right, thank you, Jesus, for I see some reversals of some things that the enemy's tried to do, some reversals, some divining moments that are being reversed for your favor in Jesus' name. And God bringing you love, like you realize you're loved and being loved, that God is, a love covenant or something being cut with you. And, so that's really cool. All right. All right, so Lord, I thank you for that defining moment with Marge, God, in Jesus' name, to open her up. I see wounds being healed with people, maybe even you, wounds that have been in the process of being healed, finished up, like things had wounds being healed, things being finalized, and things you've been subjected to coming to an end. Or you have to subject yourself to that, maybe you just conquered or you won. I don't know what's happened, but that subjecting you to the certain things that God says, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were no longer subjected to that. They moved into a whole other place, another era in their life. Open that up for her, God, in Jesus' name, that she can see and dream with big hopes in Jesus' name. All right. Okay. Okay. Hang on a minute. Okay. Okay, I'm going on here. All right. Donna, $10, pray for Randy, your husband. Thank you, Jesus. What a great name. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for Randy, for Donna. Thank you for that $10. And Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Donna, for Randy. I thank you, Lord, that that Randy will begin to make some new announcements. You know, announcements are being made for Randy on Randy's behalf or something like that. It's like, let that be then, God. Like some new announcements made over him and about him, like some new announcements, like, you know, I know it's not about him being a father, but it's like, hey, you're going to be a father. Some announcements being made. Oh, you're going to be a father, or you know, or yeah, you're going to you're getting a raise, or yeah, you're getting, you know, a new position or something. It's like I've seen announcements being made over him like that, and you know that you know kind of like go, wow, you know, God is really doing something, you know, in spite of the enemy, in spite of the warfare, in spite of the darkness trying to come down, you know, God is doing something and giving him a glimmers of hope that God is with him and God is, you know, wanting to, you know, calling him and chosen him to specific kind of languages, to a specific kind of people, and define them and bring defining moments for him and for them. And Jesus' name, open that up for him, God, right now by the power of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for opening all that up, God, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, God. Yeah, announcements over him. I just decree announcements, you know, like, yeah. And amen. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Chris, for that $100. God bless you, my brother. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Chris. I thank you, Lord, for that. You know, I gave you that word the other night about the hammer. I saw this big sledgehammer in your hand. And then tonight I ended up kind of talking about that, how that, you know, the sledgehammer, God is tearing down things so he can build a whole new thing. It's like it's all about building something new. And the old things that take possession of, try to make us think this is going to be yours forever, you're going to be old, this old stuff is going to be yours. It's like God is saying, he's giving you a whole new mental attitude, like all things become new. All things become new. All things become new. All things are becoming new. All things are becoming new, Chris. All things, you know, like our kids are going to be new. Like, you know, oh my gosh, my kids, like a person, like my wife's a new person, like something that, you know, in all good ways, of course. And so it's like, you know, this behold, all, it's like he's giving you this thing. And sometimes we have to tear down the old, you know, even with our own self, we have to tear down the old things that we used to, that we want to change, that we want to do better. We tear those down. We tear down everything to make the way, to prepare the way for the new. And everything God's going to possess you with and give you possession of is going to be with the new thing, with God making a new thing. It's all about the new thing, thinking new, looking new, feeling new, everything new. New, everywhere. Everything you do, new. Everything new, do. Yeah, in Jesus' name. That whole thing of, yeah, tear out the old, yeah. Or you can't even see it. Pretty soon you're not gonna be. You remember it, but it won't be like be kind of like a picture of the old and the new. You know what you used to look like. Now what you look like, great. You know the old, now the new, and like that's the only thing you're gonna be able to remember about. It's like, man, look what God has done. Yeah, new. All right, all right. Jeannie, $200. Thank you, Jeannie, for that $200. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeannie. God, I thank you, Lord, for that. For the same thing with you, like new, just God just saying new, like he's shaking off old teachings, old doctrines, old things that we've hung on to for years, thinking that that's, you know, and just old ways of thinking about marriage, old ways of thinking about, you know, our, you know, how big God wants to do things in our life. And it's like I see this huge ranch. I know you're a rancher. I know you're a ranch-minded person. I see this huge ranch, huge. Like I'm talking about not 40 acres or 50. I'm seeing like 250 acres or something like that. I don't know if that's what you're going to have eventually or right now. I'm not sure what that is. But like this huge ranch, like a ranch, like a real ranch. Like, you know, it's almost like it's, you know, I've got to just say what I see, okay? You can take it every other. But like, it's like it's in a mountainous area. Like you're going to have, you know, like there's, and I don't know what this means exactly, but I saw this ranch, like horses and cattle and fences and, you know, Bronx and, you know, horses like for Bronx and breaking horses and, you know, and like at a mountain, you know, like in Wyoming or something, you know, I don't know if this, I don't know what that is. Whether that's a camp or whether that's something you're going to have or something you have in the future, God's going to have in a millennium. I'm not sure what that is, dude, girl. But that was, like, mind-boggling when I just saw that in the spirit. And, like, this huge mountain, you know, like up in the mountains or something in the mountainous area. Don't ask me, but, wow, dreaming God's dreams is like, that may be your heavenly, I may have just seen your heavenly home. I remember one time, I had a vision of, you remember Brian, my friend Brian, who did worship with Benny Hinn, right? Remember him? He died a few years ago. But I had a dream of him, and he was driving me through heaven. I didn't know it was heaven at the time, but it was like this beautiful mountain. I love the mountain. I love the pine trees. I adore that. I just love that. It's like, And I'm never there, hardly ever. But when I go there, it's like I turn into a different person. Like, oh, my God, I belong here or something. You know, and I just saw, like, so he was driving me through heaven. It's like, you know, he can't drive, right? When he was that's why we became friends, because I had to drive it. Because he was an albino. He couldn't, you know, his eyes weren't that great. And so in the dream I had of him, he was driving me. He was driving me through this beautiful mountain pass. It was a gorgeously amazing. And I don't know why, but I just saw that with you. I don't know whether heavenly blessing dream, where you're going to have that in the mountains to go and just live and be a part of it. And maybe you have the money and the finances to pay people to take care of it for you or something. I don't know what that is, but I just saw that. It's like God expanding your vision, showing you that I'm going to do exceeding abundantly above all you could actually think of or imagine, and expanding your faith and showing you, you know, don't just barely believe for what you barely need and barely want. You know what I mean? I mean, we may start out like that at first, but knowing that God's going to fulfill your dream, your dreamer is going to be fulfilled. Amen. And I wish I knew more about what that was, but I saw that just flash in my spirit. Just a day, just like I'm looking at, you know, this computer in front of me, except in the spirit. Wow. And in your vision. Amen. All right, Tanisha, $205. Thank you, Tanisha. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Tanisha. I thank you, Lord, for all they're going through right now. Strengthen them. Their house is their... getting their house signed up, the signing for their house, all the whole thing for their new house. It's all just, you know, it's just a lot of work, a lot of things to work through. You know, we want the blessings, and when we start passing through all the things, you go, wow, God, this is amazing. Let's get it all done and finalized and behind us where it's finished. And I see the word finished written, Tanisha, over the house, over you guys, over your house. It's like finished. Like it's finished. Like it's finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. You know, songs like that. Battle is over. Something like that. And so I thank you, Lord, for the finished, the things that are finished. the Tanisha and Terrence, God, in Jesus' name. And for Terrence, I thank you, Father, for them, you know, agreeing together that it is done, it is finished. And start, God, giving you eyes to move beyond what isn't seemingly finished into the finished realm, like by faith walking into the finished realm, into the finished department, where it is finished, it's over, it's done, and you riding across, it's finished, done. And it's not just your house thing, Terrence and Tanisha. That has to do with, you know, past situations, relationship, things that have gone, you know, tough, writing finished on it, done, finished. In Jesus' name, and stamping that with the done stamp, with the finished stamp, in Jesus' name. Jesus cried out, he said, Father, it is finished, it is done, I've done it, it's accomplished, it's paid for. It's paid for. So God says to tell you, it's paid for. The house is paid for, it's paid for, everything's paid for. In the name of Jesus, a miracle in the name of the Lord, a miracle and intervention in Jesus' name. All right, Rita, Trina, Rita from Florida, $230. Thank you, Rita. Wow. Really cool how, you know, God's, you know, favoring you to take back that which belongs to you and also taking back what belongs to others. And God using the anointing, using the favor to not only take back what belongs to you, but take back what belongs to others. And like this is a group thing of, you know, working together to take back what belongs to all of us and joining together in, but behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil that's poured down on the head of Aaron and his beard and down the ropes, you know. And God just doing a unification thing, a unity thing that's hard to break. The threefold color is hard to break. And I thank you, Jesus, for that divine appointment of you know, like I see like the veil being rent and an opening to enter in and take back, you know, what belongs to you. Like God always belonged to us, but we lost him because of Adam and Eve and their sin. But now the veil is rent, and now we enter in to the Holy of Holies with our Father, with the full blessing, with the covenant, with everything that we need and more in Jesus' name. And show Rita the more realm, the M-O-R-E realm, the more realm, more God, more. And it's not greedy more. It's like the revelation of exceeding abundantly above all you could ask and think you can imagine. In Jesus' name. And I see some people, I see some things passing away. And in that passing away, there's a, I don't know, an inheritance or some kind of thing passed down to you and to others. And you're going to see that happen with you and with others in Jesus' name. So open that door, God, in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of death going on right now. I think there's always death going on in the world, but a lot of that death is going to produce wealth. A lot of the death that's going on, it's like when the children of Israel die, you know, the old crew, the new crew entered in. Amen. Because of their death and God's judgment on that situation, because they were just unfaithful and disloyal, you know, blind. They couldn't get out of Egypt. They couldn't get Egypt out of them. But the new crew enters through the river, and they were all for each other. They knew how important it was to stick together, work together, and be together. And I thank you, Lord, for that anointing in Jesus' name to unify. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Forrester, I keep hearing the word Forrester. I don't know what that is, but Jesus' name, that's for somebody. Amen. All right. Jeff and Uke. Jeffrey and Ukester, $111.11. September to remember. September, that's coming up. We are in September. What do you mean coming up? We are in September. Thank you, Lord, for the September to remember, God. That's their declaration. God, we thank you for the victory. Thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for getting over the hill and getting up on top of the hill where it's just a, you know, running down on the other side, like, you know, the battle of getting up there was fun, and then on top, then you just go down. It's like, you know, a quick ride like everything just, you know, like, you know, going down the mountain, there's no effort, very little struggle, very little battle. It's just kind of like, hang on, not even using any gas. You just, the car is just kind of like, you know, going on its own, basically. And just sitting there with a thrill and enjoyment of watching what God is doing, watching it happen, watching it unfold. It's the unfolding season for you guys, watching things unfold, the mysteries unfold, the secrets unfold. Amen. Very, very cool. In Jesus' name. All right. Nicole, $16.16. 16.67. All right, let's see. What was that? I forget what that was. Hang on a minute. Let me go back here. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. Yeah. Really wild and crazy. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. It's like it's a hope, the future. Yeah. In Jesus' name, the shame game is over. All right. Nicole, 1667. Thank you, Nicole, for that. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the activation of the new places. That new feet, new shoes, new places, new feet, new shoes, new places, new feet, new shoes, new places. It's like God giving you new feet or something. I don't know what that is. New feet to tread on new territory. I know you're getting a new job going. I think you're activating that right now. What I can remember. And new feet for new shoes for new places and new territory. It's territory time. It's time to take territory. God's going to give you territory. It's really already been paid for. The thing about God's going to show you the paid for realm. That's already been paid for, and therefore it's given to you, right? In other words, it's just like going, and with your feet you take it. With your feet you tread upon it. With your feet you walk on it and take it. In Jesus' name, amen, with authority and love and, you know, taking dominion. Yeah, God's giving you a taking dominion spirit. Your taking dominion spirit is really going to kick in. It is kicking in, amen, through holy frustration, if you will. That's what God does with me. I get wholly frustrated, like, okay, bless God, that's it. You know, I'm up, and it's like one day I wake up, and it's like, boom, I'm working something. You know, yeah, and we're onto something here. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, Kimberly, $50, and then Kimberly, $7. Couldn't figure out how to send your names to paper. I know, they've changed that, Kimberly. They have changed it. But we got a new website, so when we put the new link on there, maybe I need to go back and check that out. But thank God for, you know, sending it to text. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. And $50 for Kimberly and $7 donation for Zachary. Okay, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Zachary, God. We thank you for Zach. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the heal. Like Zachary, I see Zachary on the hill, and he's, you know, like with his hands up, like he's like going, man, you know, look what I found or something. Like he's got his hands up, like found something, or like he's discovered something, or he can see something. He can see, like you're on the hill, you can see things all around you. He's being able to see around him, see his life, what it could be. You know, that his dreams can come true, and he can really see his dreams come true, and be able to see that and know that. And I see his hands up like from a hill, like a small mountain or a little hill or something. And he's like going, man, look at this. I can see, like, he feels free, freedom, and closeness. Like he feels close, like he's connecting with somebody or something. I'm sure that is. But opening that up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. For Kimberly, Lord, thank you, Lord, for that. To take dominion, you know, to take dominion means that we just don't go out there and do whatever we want, but we start sensing and feeling what God's doing. And when you get that knowing that God's wanting to do something, you just come in agreement with it, and that's taking a dominion. So dominion is really just coming into agreement with God. It's not commanding it. It's not making it. It's like, okay, God, I come into agreement, and I agree with you. And I see God showing you how to come to agreement with him about things. And that, and simply coming to agreement with him is what connects you to the breaking, to breaking into it. You know, coming into agreement, it's not about fighting the fight, you know, I mean, you know, so much as it is. In this particular circumstance, it's about coming to agreement. Wherever two or more agree, it's all about agreement. That's it. Agree. I agree with you, Lord. It's touching this thing, and it shall be done. So it's not about all the other things we make it done, but it's in the Christian world, but it's about coming into agreement. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that you're showing Kimberly how to come into agreement with you in Jesus' name. And once you come into agreement, that agreement cannot be broken. God's agreements cannot be broken. They can't be changed. They can't be rearranged. They can't be, that's it, man. It's finished, basically. Amen. All right. Kimberly, God bless. Bless you with that. In Jesus' name, open up, make you happy, give you joy, make you happy, make you sing again. With, you know, we all have different songs we sing for different things. I see you singing a new song. Amen. John, $4 finances and the application that's submitted. Thank you, Jesus, for John. $4, thank you, Lord, for the finances. God, I thank you, God, for just showing him how to work, you know, work with you in the provision that you've already provided, that it's already been provided. And just already been provided means you come in, like I told Kimberly, you come into agreement with him about it. And coming into agreement means it starts happening. So show him how to find agreement with you. Have to show him, God, show him how to come into agreement with you in Jesus' name. And because agreement is, it's already all done. It's just us working through the process of coming to agreement with him. In Jesus' name, open up his eyes, God. Let him see. Like we took communion tonight about opening up our eyes. I want my eyes open every day. I wish that God would open my eyes on something every day. You know, can never get enough of that. And I think God is opening up your eyes to show you that the provision is already provided. It's a matter of coming to agreement with him about it. In Jesus' name. And the application you submitted in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for bringing that documenting it and bringing it in a documentary fashion. Where it's done, documented, complete. Anything hidden is completed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Okay. The completion of a thing. All right, awesome. Okay. Great. Been a great night tonight. Wow. Cool. Been a lot of fun. It usually is. But, you know, it's Holy Ghost work. And it's midnight. Almost midnight, my friend. All right. Shannon, $10. I think Shannon just hit. Thank you. All right. Please pray for health, strength, and vitality, for financial breakthrough, and I meet my wife very soon. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for blessing him so he goes into his, for blessing him, God, that he enters into his, you know, relationship with money, with finances, with, you know, that aura around him, like, you know, that glow of, look what God's given me. I'm blessed. And, you know, God just, you know, you see that in the animal kingdom where, you know, I watch these animal, I like those animal kingdom shows sometimes where they just show how, you know, a certain bird will, when it's mating season, how its feathers will just puff its feathers out in a certain particular way and just, just walk around talking, and that's making the bird want it, the mate that it's trying to mate with. Want it, you know, like, start doing all this, whatever the particular, they all do different things. It's amazing how they all do different things. And that's just like the other bird goes, whoa, that's really hot. You know, that's really something. They're going like, yeah, I want you, you know. And then they have babies and move on, you know. It's like that spreading of the wings, that sound of, you know, I'm valuable, like I said. You know, that's what God will say. He uses value to get sometimes to get attention. You know, it's not true in every case with everybody, but sometimes God just produces wealth and blessing to say, hey, you know, like my feathers, like, oh, I want you. You know, because a person, you know, on the surface, people have to see us as, you know, we can be blessed on the inside, but sometimes on the outside we can appear like we're not. And some people are like, you know, and that's not the perfect scenario in my case. If somebody wants you, they should want you for it being you. But sometimes that, you know, that little flirting thing God does with, I'm blessed, you know, I'm blessed. And like, you know, so open that up, God, and bless him so he can make that little prosperity sound, that blessing, like I'm taken care of, I can take care of you. Yeah, I'm blessed. Open that up in Jesus. Open up that blessed realm in Jesus' name for my brother in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Open it up. Favor God in Jesus' name. Peace and blessing in the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the fire of the Holy Ghost over him. Yeah. Cool, man. Awesome. All right. I think that's basically it for the night, I think, as far as I can tell. Thank you, Jesus. I know some of you are calling in and get your hand up, but Thursday nights, I don't always take callers on Thursday nights. You know, first calls, we get prayer offerings, and then we, you know, kind of go from there. But hallelujah, man, and God is good. Amen, Noel. Noel says, great night tonight. Thank you, Noelle. Great night, Randy. Man, you've been reading my mail. Oh, really? Totally in the mercy of Jesus and New Outlook and what I believe is abundance. Wow, walking it out and depending on that mercy and new vision perspective to see it, get it, already blown away. Oh, awesome. Girl, that's... Thank you for saying that. It makes me feel good. I need those confirmations sometimes. You know, that's really wonderful. Oh, Sharonda. Thank you, Sharonda. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I did see that, and I just totally forgot. Thank you. You know, the last is always best. You know, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. Yeah. All right, Sharonda, thank you, dear, for reminding me about that. Hallelujah. Yeah, I see a surround sound. I keep hearing the word, like, surround sound. I don't have a clue what that means as far as spiritually speaking, but surround sound is kind of like, you know, your ability to enjoy the music, your ability to get the full sound, you know, surround sound, to get to hear the, every beat, everything, like I like your being is like able to capture every, you know, like some people just hear, you know, one little thing in a song. Some people just hear, you know, the full thing. It's like you have an ability, girl, to hear the full sound of things. And sometimes you don't always understand what you see and what you hear, but God's wanting to show you, you know, how to see and how to hear things, because when you have surround sound, it's better than just having a speaker in your ear. Right, you have surround sound. It's like you hear the whole thing. Every, you know, like you go to a movie theater and they got surround sound. It's like, you know, one minute you'll hear somebody talking over there on the right, and then all of a sudden on the right, on the left hand side you hear somebody talking. On the right hand side, and all of a sudden you hear a train coming, and then on the front you hear something else happening. It's like, you know, it creates this environment of getting the fullness of what's happening. Aware of the full environment, and you have that about you, and it's really cool, it's really amazing, and I think God wants to open that up for you more, so you can walk into a room, or walk into a situation, or walk into somebody's life, or walk in, and you're aware of, you know, the full, you know, like, you hear the sounds of everything. Some of it may not be all that great, some of it may be really, really good, but you hear the whole thing, and so you can have an assessment of, how do I handle this, what do I do with this, what's going on with this? And your ability to assess things and, you know, and reason things out with God and assess them and you know, check them out and ask God, you know, okay, God, I'm hearing this. What does that mean? Okay, I'm hearing surround sound. God, I'm surrounded with all this. You know, like before, it's like, you know, we hear one side of something. Some people hear two sides of things. Some people hear, you know, the full thing. So open up Sharondagon to the full development of hearing the sounds and of the surround sound, the whole thing, where she's surrounded with it and knowing and is aware of what's going on and being able to hear it, know it, and be able to figure out, you know, ask God's help on, so what does that mean, what's going on with that, and being fully aware. God is wanting to make you fully aware of things. And so thank you, Jesus, for bringing people in her life, God, that being happy and being able to have a mate, have friendship, you know, it's God, you know, we could be content without that, but when God brings it, it fulfills us. It's fulfilling. God brings fulfillment in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for fulfilling Sharonda, God, with your full will, with the full surround sound, with everything in her life, where she's hearing the sounds of a husband, hearing the sounds of children, hearing the sounds of money, hearing the sounds of provision, hearing the sounds of love, of Jesus, of God's blessing, hearing the full thing, hearing everything, that she's got everything, she can hear everything in her life. Oh, yeah, I've got that, you know, I got the full thing. I got a husband, I got family, I got, you know, future, I got friendship, I got love, I got things to work on, I got challenges. The full thing, the full surround sound of the sounds of life, the sound of a full life. In Jesus' name, open that up, God, in Jesus' name. And may she surrender to you in a way she's never done before, God, to worship you and appreciate you and value you for what you're doing in her life. Amen. And how beautiful that it is. God, and how beautiful she is in your sight, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Awesome. That's cool. The last shall be the best, maybe. I'm not sure. The best or not, but it's pretty good. All right, y'all. It's been really, really great. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And God is good. All right. I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you, everybody, for giving. And we pray every Wednesday. We pray for every person that calls in. So if you don't call in on Wednesdays, we might miss you, but on Mondays and Tuesdays, we talk to whoever. We just kind of go and let me talk to one person for 5 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour. I don't know. But Mondays and Tuesdays are like that. Wednesdays are pray for everybody, no matter how long it takes. And Thursday, we pray over offerings, which is praying over people again and with an offering going on. So it's kind of fun. All right. Learn if you kind of catch what's going on, maybe you can be a part of it if God gives you the grace and be part of the Love Fest. To the Love Fest. God's bringing the Love Fest. Helping us see things God's way instead of interpreting things our way and getting fearful and scared. Amen. All the way around. All right, y'all. Calling tonight. Thank you very much. It's been awesome. We will talk to you guys Monday, if not sooner. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for their giving. Hopefully, I didn't forget anybody tonight or miss anybody tonight. Hopefully, I got everyone. Thank you for helping me get through it all. I appreciate it. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you. Bye-bye.